Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 597. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
Guys, I'm not in Charlotte anymore. It's so awesome. Let me out.
Are you back in Orlando?
That was an option. That they were told, we'll send you back. Like, I don't want to go back. I want to go forward.
I need to go north just a little bit further.
But you don't, so I guess you're not part of the Supreme Court, huh?
No. I actually had a friend who was driving home from Florida. He's like, I can pick you up on the way.
How long were you actually there for?
I was in Charlotte for 23 hours.
And that was your layover?
Yes. It's a 23-hour layover, that's all.
That is not a layover. I mean, I think that officially counts as a mini vacation.
It wasn't intended, right?
It wasn't intended, but...
No, it was supposed to be a 90-minute layover. It was not.
So, did you spend all the time in the airport, or did they give you a hotel?
So, here's the trouble, is that my flight was late enough that they're like, okay, we'll put you on standby for this next flight. And at that point, it was like 1 in the morning after I didn't get on that flight. So the flight they ticketed me for was at 7 a.m. I was like, I can go to a hotel for 4 hours and come back, which actually sounded worse. So I stayed at the airport. Then I got a message at 6 a.m. that my 7 a.m. flight was moved to 8:30. And then that flight actually got canceled.
P.m. or a.m., just to be on the same page.
That was AM. So it got moved to back. So, you know, I went to the ticket agent. Like, my flight was canceled again. What do I do? They put me on standby for a couple of flights that day, but could actually ticket me for a flight at 6 p.m. I didn't get on any of the standby flights. So, and then my 6 p.m. flight was delayed for an hour and a half. But I did eventually get out.
Yeah, that is my biggest fear when traveling.
If I had been traveling for for pleasure, it would have sucked. But I was at the airport on an expense account. So like, okay, I'm fine. I can eat. I can drink. I'll be okay.
Well, if you spend 2 hours, or yes, because I think is that the new Delta rule? You can't spend more than 2 hours in the
lounge.
Yeah.
I don't know. Okay. I wasn't in the lounge. If you're stuck in an airport, there are worse ones to be stuck in than Charlotte. They have a couple of craft beer bars. The brewery Wicked Weed has their own restaurant. It's just a bar, but you can get like lots of nice Wicked Weed beers on tap. So, you know, there are worse places to be stuck. Like if I was stuck in like Las Vegas, I
would you could put money into the slot machines they have there, I guess.
That airport is shit. Other than the slot machines.
I mean, even the slot machines are shit. Like, Earl is here as well.
I had some really funny joke about Supreme Court, but then I was like, I don't think there's anything to me better joke than Supreme Court right now. So,
that's fair.
But
Jeff is also back.
Fuck everything.
He's returned from Wisconsin.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
But you know what's the best part about Jeff being back is I can finally go about Ninja Turtles being out and no Metroid was announced. I won. True.
I know, but you had to play Ninja Turtles.
And I played the heck out of it several times.
So did I.
I played a lot of that too.
I did not.
Oh, Jeff.
I played it. I didn't play a lot of it.
Did not enjoy.
It's fine. I don't know. It's like exactly
what you want.
Are we going straight into this?
Sure.
It's exactly what those games were.
Yeah.
A couple things on top of it, I guess. I don't, you know.
And that's exactly what I wanted.
Like sometimes you don't need to reinvent visual standard. It was great.
You don't need to reinvent the wheel.
No, you know, I guess they did a good job. I just don't really like that type of game that much.
Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I had fun with it. Okay. I thought you know, the characters I think play different enough. I had a good time with it. I also played some multiplayer. That is chaotic.
I say I'm not done more than three players, but yeah, I guess we can might as well talk about Ninja Turtles. So you play six players, right?
Yes, it's insane. It is people, because you can fill your special meter up by taunting.
Yeah.
So it is just nonstop specials the entire time.
A lot of people have complained about that. And I do think if they fix something, that is one of the things they need to fix. It's not so much that you get it by taunting. It's the fact that you can get it by taunting with no repercussions.
Yeah, unless you, like, if you get hit while you're taunting, it'll knock you out of it. But
even then, that's an achievement.
Yeah.
Once, but...
but it is. And with so many people on screen, like everybody is running a special at once, so you could normally find a spot while the four or five other people are running their special to hit your taunt.
Yes, and that's what we're doing. That's what we're doing even with three of us. Is like, okay, I'm gonna hit my special, you taunt, you get your two specials. Then I will go get my specials while you're hitting them. And it became a, like, there's some bosses you just cheese with that, where it's like, okay, you knock them, you just hit them, and I will go get my special. It's a very broken system.
Yeah. And I mean, it like, even on some of the harder bosses at the end, like Super Shredder, the final boss, it doesn't work quite as well, because he can only be attacked at certain points.
Yes. But it does help if, like, if people have it, so, like, other people, so you can charge it up for, like, when he,
yeah,
because, like, he can only be hit at certain points to your point, but, like, if you have it charged up, so, like, when he gets out of that phase, you hit him.
Yeah, you kind of move in on him, and then everybody hits their special at once. and then you hope you can just avoid his, like, area of effect attacks, because he, like, throws fire out. And...
Yes. That one I just don't taunt for it. It's the one, if you get lucky, it's the one where he zips across the screen.
Yep.
Because, like, he goes in a certain pattern. I don't know the pattern, but it's a pattern.
It's like a Z pattern, but it can be randomized, like, how he hits it. It's not always the same. Yes, I mean, I've had a good time popping in. I've been trying to get the... finish arcade mode on Gnarly, but you can't see what other people have as their difficulty.
That's a weird omission.
Yeah, because, like, I chose Gnarly myself, and then, like, you know, you choose your difficulty, and then you choose your character, and then from there, like, from the character select screen, you can find other players and join their games, but it doesn't tell you if they're playing on, what was it, chill?
Wouldn't it join you with other gnarlies?
That's what I thought, right?
Yeah.
But I did not get the achievement for beating it on gnarly, like, the three times I've played that way. So either that achievement's broken, or I'm joining, like, okay or chill, and I just don't know how to tell, because it's not there.
Huh.
I do like that it does tell you how many people are in a game, who they're using, and how far they are. So there's, like, a percentage that kind of shows you.
And then there's another thing. I have not done that, but people have been... Because, like, I think the final achievement is, like, beating Super Shredder without getting hit.
Yeah.
So people have been trying to get into... Like, basically, get when people are in the final encounter.
Popping in the corner.
Yes. Yeah. Or like, pop, if you're really good, getting it as soon as, like, they're hitting the final drill.
Oh, I mean, I guess you could do that, right? You join a match where they are fighting Super Shredder, but if you don't pop in to the actual game, so you're... When you join somebody else's game, it gives you, like, you pop in, and it gives, like, it's like you put your quarter in, but you haven't selected your character yet. So you can wait, I guess, until like Super Shredder gets really low to jump in. That would be annoying though if everybody else is fighting him and then like you're trying to join right at the last moment. That would piss me off.
Yeah, but I mean, I think that's what people are trying to do, because again, they're just getting the achievement. They don't care.
Yeah.
We've all been there. We've all got cheap achievements.
Never.
Haven't you had your kids play games for achievements?
Never. I would never do such a thing. I don't know what you're accusing me of.
I don't know. I'm happy with it. I think it's a lot of fun. It is very short, though.
It is very short. And it's very short and very long at the same time. In that, like, arcade mode, you have to beat in one sitting.
Yeah.
And it is very difficult to find like 2.5 hours to just sit and play a video game these days for me. So it's funny because we play story mode the first I played with some friends, the people I was going to play with. Like, I did not notice, because this is on me, this is why I should do research, because I was like, oh, we should play story mode, we have all our characters, and then next time we play we can do arcade mode. They're all characters, and did not realize that the level up actually does not carry over to arcade mode.
No, that has its own, like, you do level up in arcade mode, but it's all in one sitting, and it's as you score points, because that's how you do it. So you will get extra health, and like your special move or your special bar will fill up, like you'll get extra specials, but you have to earn all those points again in arcade mode.
That's not fun.
No. Especially since, like, in story mode, you have to upgrade all of them independently. So there's 7 characters if you want to upgrade them all.
That was the thing that actually threw me. Because I was like, wait, then what is the purpose of... Because there's an achievement for beating the game with everybody. And I'm like, why would you not then encourage you to do that? So that you could then use that in story mode.
Yep. And I didn't understand that was how the leveling worked.
Nor did I, because I told my friends, like, oh, and then I was like, I read it up, it's like, nope, you, because, like, I mean, I think the one thing, like, you were talking about is, like, you could achieve special. In story mode, by the end of it, you have 3 levels of a special.
Yep.
You get 1 in arcade mode.
That's it.
You start with 1. Like, if you if you get 2,000 points in your arcade mode run, you'll have 3 by the end. But it's it takes a while to get there. The other thing is that, so there's these missions that you can do in story mode. It's like, you know, find collectibles in the level, and then when you find, you know, 3 diaries or whatever, you go talk to the little girl and give them back, and she gives you points or whatever. Those are only attributed to the character you have active at the time. So some of those missions aren't done until, like you're not completing them until towards the end of the game. So I had already maxed out Raphael before finishing the game. So I basically wasted the points for them, which sucks, because I could have had like a jump start on like Leo or Donnie or whatever, but you don't get those points added on to your character score unless you redeem it as that character, and they're only able to be done once.
Yeah. Which that was the thing I disliked, because I played the game. Like I said, I played the game several times. I played it on my own at first, and then I played it with my friends. And they were doing the omissions, because it's the first time playing. I'm like, oh, I can turn it in. It's like, nope, you've already done this. Like, oh, okay. So, yeah, there are some things that I think they need to work out. But the core, the fundamentals of the game are rock solid, a ton of fun. I'm sure Jeff killed me, but it's in the running for me right now. It's like one of my top games of the year.
Yeah. I think it's good. I just think there's certain things I think I would have made me like it more. Like if it, like if there was more, like Like, if you're choosing things to level up on the characters as you went through it, I think that would make me like it more.
Instead of it just being a set. Like, when you reach level 2, you get X or whatever.
Yeah, and then I wish, like, the bosses were... Like there was more, like, something interesting to them. Like,
I will say, I agree with you. It is, like, a very, very, like, there's some interesting bosses early on, but by, like, halfway through the game, it's like, this person's gonna run across the screen. Mm-hmm. This person's gonna kick me if I get killed. And that is the boss pattern for, like, half of the bosses in the
game. It's like, again, I haven't played a ton of this, but I remember there was, like, one level where, like, the bosses, you're, like, chasing this fan, I think. And it's, like, shooting stuff back at you. And I thought for sure, oh, I would have to, like, hit the ball of things that they're shooting at me, and it would, like, you know, kind of Zelda style, like, rebound it back and hit the fan. But no, you just could fucking fly and kick the van.
Okay, that sounds like you not knowing, because I don't think beat-em-up bosses are that complex.
Well, I think they could. I think that would make it more interesting to me. And I don't remember it well, but I seem to remember, like, Streets of Rage 4 being more interesting with the bosses. But maybe, you know, I could be wrong.
So, but yeah.
Yeah, you probably played it more than me, so you probably would be more right. I don't know.
I mean, there were some cool bosses, but I think they are all in, like, the first half. There's, like, the Rat King, which he, like, calls out, like, his swarm of rats, and you have to, like, jump around.
That was actually more annoying than fun after a while.
But it's different than just, like, running up and hitting.
Something to it, you know, yeah.
And then there's one where you're fighting two guys. I don't know who they are, but one's, like, a mole guy, and he has a shovel, and he, like...
Oh, yes, that was... And then there's some where it becomes... Like, there's one where you're fighting Tokar and Reza with the video queen. I forget her name.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, that's interesting. Except it gets to a point where it's kind of annoying because, like, you can only damage her. And it gets to a point where it's like, you're just doing this out of necessity to continue the mission.
Yeah. And I'm like, that one drags a little bit.
I think Shredder does the same thing where after a while it's just like, okay, I just want to kill Shredder now. So let me kill Shredder.
As opposed to having to wait for him to get tired over and over and over.
Yes.
Again. Yeah.
The same thing with Krang, Super Krang, where it's like, it was hard because, like, you have to find his, you have to wait until, like, his body gets far away that, like, most people can't hit them. I think Donnie and some other people have, like, an area of attack that will get close. But, yeah, it's, like, one of those where it's like, ugh.
Wonder if that's because, like, when he backs up and he shoots his lasers out, then it throws out some foot soldiers. I wonder if you're supposed to throw them.
You're supposed to throw them, yeah.
But nobody does that.
I mean, that's, we've done it, which is how I knew that's how you're supposed to do it, or that's how you're supposed to do it right.
Right.
Is like somebody's, like, accidentally did it. Oh, that's right. He doesn't get closer, but he does damage him.
Oh, there's another one. It's like a robot guy that he, like, pulls out, and you're viewing it from, like, inside a camera or something.
Yes, I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, and you have to throw the foot soldier at the camera to damage it, and then he comes down and you can hurt him there. That one was fun. That one was pretty cool.
Yes. I thought that was a really great, like, homage to Turtles in Time. Like, people are going to want this. Let's do something with this that's different. And I thought that was a really cool... Like, again, there's some really nifty bosses, and then there's times where I'm like, ugh, who designed this game?
Mostly fun, though, I think. I had a good time with it, so I'm still like, poking at it, playing a couple levels here and there to level up my other characters. Going for those final, like, the beat it with all seven, level up all seven.
Yes. My favorite, and I've not done it yet, is beat Rat King with Spinter.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yeah, like, yeah.
Rat versus Rat. So much Rat.
Well, Rat versus Rat King.
And rats.
And rats.
There were no achievements associated with April, though, right? Like,
no, not that I know of.
She's a little overpowered, too.
It is so funny how, like, because, like, yeah, I think she's one of the best characters in the game. I don't know if it's because she's overpowered, but I think because she doesn't have she doesn't have an analogous in the other games. Like, they were able to just kind of go buck wild with her power.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so cool, like, the stuff they get her to do. I just love, like, her air special is, like, her throwing a camera on people. Or, like, her taunt is, like, her dropping the mic and stuff like that. I think they just have a ton of fun with her. And I would say the same thing with Casey to a degree. I like that his aerial is, like, he dunks a basketball on people, and he uses, like, the hefty, he uses various sports equipment in his combat style. And I'm like, I assume it does not change a ton, but visually it's just really fun to do. So yeah. I thought they did a good job of balancing everybody and making them feel slightly different.
Yeah.
So kudos to them on that. I do hope that this DLC with more, that you do feel like the ending comes out of nowhere with Shredder, and not that Shredder comes out of nowhere. I mean, he's the main villain, but like Shredder and Krang are just like, here you go. And then they're over with.
Yeah, it's like this whole time you're spent chasing like Krang's head around, and then they build him and you fight him and it's over.
Yeah. And it's like, I get it. Like, you probably don't. Like, they do fight a giant version of him, I guess, but it's like, it's a statue of, like, I would have liked an actual, because I don't think they do this. There's a, because there's a level, one of the Panic in the Sky, I think, where you're in the sky, and, like, in the distance, you can see the turtle blimp, and, like, it's like, oh, why not a strive to have a level on the turtle blimp? It's like, no. You're just going to drive the turtle blimp. That's all. So, yeah.
Yeah, I hope they add some stuff to it. It'd be fun to revisit it later. That's Turtles. It's out. Still no Metroid.
Metroid's never coming out. Surrender now.
Jeff just got a Metroid. It's...
Are those tears, Jeff?
The monkey paw.
I mean, I'm still a fan of it, but...
Of Dread?
Yes.
I mean, it's better than no Metroid. I guess.
Well, is it?
I mean,
yeah.
I guess, like, I feel like when you're like, I want Metroid, you mean like, I want a really good game that I will enjoy, is what you actually mean when you say that. And you're like, I didn't really enjoy this game as much as I
didn't feel. It didn't feel right. The easy mode helped a little bit, but it still didn't feel right.
With that said, though, we did get a Nintendo Direct mini partner showcase, because they have to have a lot of adjectives now or descriptors. I will say, I do appreciate that, because I do think it migrates expectations.
Lowered expectations.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think it worked out in their favor, because I mean, I guess we'll talk about it in a second, but a lot of reactions I saw to it were very positive, because people thought, people don't expect anything from a mini direct, and this one had a lot of stuff that people were into. So they're like, why didn't you make it a direct? I'm like, they didn't make it a direct because if it was, like, this was enjoyable, but if it was direct, I think there's a lot of stuff that was missing. But I think.
Sorry.
Go on.
I didn't lower my expectations enough, I guess. I don't know. I was just like, okay, that's it. Like, a bunch of games that you'll say, oh, that looks interesting, and then you'll never think about them again when they come out.
I mean, I could be wrong. I think you're in a minority with this group, because there's a bunch of stuff that I'm like, oh, I would get.
You say that.
Yes.
What was announced? Let's do that. let me see. Mini Direct. You would think it would be like hot top of the news. It was just like the other day, right?
It was Tuesday?
Okay, maybe that's why. News moves fast. I mean, it wasn't the big news, right? But what wasn't big, wasn't anything big that was being shown.
No, and that's why it just, and there was little or no first party content. Which is, I think, what a partner showcase tends to be. And then the mini tends to be like, these are cool announcements, but they're not like, oh man, it's a new, I don't know, Final Fantasy, or it's a new Dragon Quest game.
There was a new Dragon
Quest. A new-ish
game, Dragon. Though, wasn't there?
A newish Dragon Quest.
Newish.
I think it's been out in Japan for a few, I don't know, since last year.
Either way, I forgot to tell Melissa about that. She'll be excited about that. Right. That was like the one thing I stood out to me, and I forgot that even.
So here we go. Monster Hunter Rise Sunbreak.
That doesn't count. I mean, that was at CopCon. We knew that was...
It was coming. That's already been announced.
I mean, that's out today.
Yep. Yes.
Nier Automata, the End of Yora Edition.
Are any of us Nier fans?
I like Nier. I would not buy it again.
How many games nowadays? It's just like, here's this thing again. Like that's the other thing. It's like sometimes it's cool. So Metroid Prime. If you give me that,
Lorelei and the Laser Eyes. That's from the developer of Sayonara Wild Hearts.
Oh, that the game did look interesting, but now that you say that it's from them, I'm actually more interested in that. Because I already did Sayonara Wild Hearts.
I almost bought that on
all
Xbox.
All of you love it?
I love that game. It's on sale on Xbox right now, and I'm like, do I just buy it to, you know, get the achievements on it and have an excuse to play it again? That game is so awesome.
Wasn't it on... Was it not on Game Pass? Maybe I bought it again. I don't know.
I don't think so. I don't know. I just saw it right now, the current sale they have going, it's $7. I'm like, I have it on the Switch. I've played it through it on the Switch, I think this year, or if not this year, late last year. However, you know.
Yeah.
That game's, you know, it's an hour long. It's just, it's fucking fun.
Yeah, it's a great experience.
Great music.
Well, this Lorelei and the Laser Eyes, which that is a good name. Modern take on a puzzle adventure game. So it's not going to be, you know, the on track musical game, but
I would like another one of those. Give me a sequel with get that musical team, whoever did the music, do that again.
Super Bomberman R2.
Yeah, that's fun.
Mega Man Battle Network Legacy Collection.
Woo!
All right, so Earl, you seem excited for this.
What is
Mega Man Battle Network?
Oh, okay. So I guess that is Mega Man Battle Network was the series of Mega Man RPGs on the GBA. So the concept is that Mega Man is a computer program, and it's kind of like Pokemon. So Mega Man is a computer program, and you control a human character, I think named Man or something like that. And you go in and you battle the computer viruses and collect them and get power up. So it was an interesting turn on using the Mega Man concept in an RPG setting with I will say I checked out at FA3, but I thought they were really fun, kind of simple turn-based RPGs with the Mega Man coding. There's quote unquote 10 games. There's 6 games. I think after the third one, they went the Pokemon route where it's the 4 has 2 versions, 5 has 3 versions, 6 has 3 2 versions, I should say.
Okay.
And then there was a platformer on the GameCube. And there's an anime series. So that's a while. I'm surprised. So it's, it was very early 2000s era Capcom. But from the ones I played and what I remember, they were really fun games.
Nice. And they're the Mega Man Legacy collections have been very good. So I assume this will be on the same level.
Hopefully. I think it's just, I think it's the same group.
Yeah, probably. I can't imagine that they would outsource to a different developer for these this time. Pac-Man World Repack, a remake of the original Pac-Man World. That's fun for me.
I mean, it's cool. Remember I said that these they should have been in the collection that just came out, $30 is like, I think it's $30 for just that one. It's like, I don't know, dude, it's not that good of a game. Like,
But I mean, it might be enough that people, it stands out enough. Again, yes, I think there's a difference between like what we think of as the value and like if it was worth an announcement. I think it's a pretty decent announcement. I would also say kind of fond of it because it was Mega Man, Pac-Man, and then I think the next game, which Chris will get to, were all bundled in like retros come to the Switch. And it's like, again, sometimes it's not necessarily the content, but how you present it that sometimes makes a difference.
I'm not sure if this is in order because the next game that they have on this list that I'm looking at is a game called Blanc.
Okay, so that was Blanc. It's amazing, though. Blanc was my favorite game shown at that direct. But there was a third one. It was Pac-Man. It was and I think it might have been Bomberman R. So that might have been the three. Okay.
But, so I mean, there are other games. There's Return to Monkey Island. There's
again, like
there's Persona.
Games. Persona! Like, come on, man.
It has an audience. I mean,
So what? So what?
Jeff's not that audience.
No, I'm just saying, like, dude. Okay, it's great. These games are coming, but like, I just feel like you guys are giving them a pass too much. I thought I was like the Nintendo fan here. Like, I don't know.
I wasn't expecting
third party showing to me. Like,
third party showing? I mean, dude. That's what I'm saying. That's why I think they did a good job. I think this is what we've said about State of Play as well. If you manage expectations, if it was a Nintendo Direct, this would be a very bad Nintendo Direct. If it was a Nintendo Direct Mini, I could see it being a so-so Nintendo Direct Mini. But the fact they branded it as a mini showcase, a partner showcase. If you remember the partner showcases, these were what they did in the summer of 2020 when they didn't have any announcements, but they had a third-party game to showcase.
I'm saying I don't think this is like an impressive third-party slate. Like, oh, some Persona ports? Wow, dude! Like,
but again, I think
you know, like,
I think because they were like, man, we're getting a bunch. Like, yes, this is full of ports and remakes and remasters. I'm not disagreeing with you on that, but they weren't selling it as anything else. It wasn't like a week of hype. It wasn't them being like, you're going to get blown away. It's like, stay tuned for this thing. The mini, we're going to have some third-party content coming out in the next 12 months. That was it.
Return to Monkey Island, which I just mentioned. Mario and Rabbids Sparks of Hope, which got its own kind of showcase on Wednesday. And that game looks great.
Oh, sorry. Okay. Just sorry. That does look really good. Really good. I want to back up because I think like I said, Blanc looks really good.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of reminded me of Journey in some way with the kind of like the storytelling that isn't like, it's just like the immersive storytelling of like going on a journey with a friend or a companion. I love the black and white style so much. That game just looks fantastic and I hope it really delivers on what they were showcasing on it. Like I said, I think that was the game that really was the best part of that direct for me. That just looks so my jam. So, and I think that's
very nice art style. So,
yeah, and that's right. And I think you're a deer and a rabbit or something like that.
A fawn and a wolf.
Okay, like a cub then, because one of them's really tiny. Yeah,
the wolf cub.
Yeah, it looks so great. So, yeah. Okay, back to Mario and Rabbit.
Yeah, well, Return to Monkey Island is a new game. It is the sequel to Monkey Island 2, LeChuck's Revenge. I guess this is what Ron Gilbert has been getting shit about.
I was going to say, like, we should also talk about the fact that it's so bad that I don't even know what he's getting crap for. I'm just going to stop talking about this game. Like, that's so sad that, like,
what happened?
He's been getting crap for it.
Yeah, I don't know why, but I mean, I'm guessing it's probably the, like, just looking at this image, maybe the art style, like, but really, like, nobody's saying you need to fucking play it. Like, go play Secret of Monkey Island or Monkey Island 2 if you want. Like, those games are out there. Like, he didn't have to make this, so I don't know.
Yes, and I mean, and this will, I don't know if this will come up later on, but let's tie it in together because gamers ain't shit. people from not Naughty Dog. What is the
Sony Santa Monica
are getting crap because a bunch of insiders are talking about, and a lot of people confirmed that Sony was set to reveal their release date for God of War this week.
Yep.
And people are upset that they didn't, so they're sending them harassing messages because they haven't given the release date for a game. And
yeah, it's been a great week for gamers.
I don't get it.
Like sending dick pics to Corey Barlog and other devs on the team. Like, it's fucking ridiculous.
I think they're enticing her, right? Like,
yeah, I do like her response. Like, one, that's not going to get me to the show. And like, has that ever worked? Like, I'm going to show you my dick. Like, and now I will get what you will send me what you want. Like, what the fuck?
What the fuck, dude?
Gamers suck, man.
I think that might be a meta in general thing more than just gamers, but
you're right.
Yeah, but yes, gamers too. Fuck them. I hate them all.
Yeah, Mario and Rabbids Sparks of Hope. Earl, you watched the Ubisoft showcase of that?
Yes. I don't remember. I think this was before my time on the show. I was a fan of the game. I think it's probably one of the prettiest Switch franchises at this point. And it's their big thing now is like they've gotten rid of the grid, so like you have a circular object now movement, and you get free movement, and you get to move before you do any actions and stuff like that. The thing I did not notice, and people pointed out to me after the fact, is one of the major complaints with the original game was that you were, even though you had a bunch of characters, you were kind of limited. Because Mario always had to be on your team, and you always had to have a rabbit on your team. I don't necessarily know if the second one is gone, but Mario no longer has to be a member on your team. So, like, you can have, like, I guess in theory, three rabbits.
Okay.
Or you could have, like, Luigi and Peach and a rabbit, or Bowser and Peach and a rabbit on your team. And then the other thing was Bowser on your team. But no, the things they showcased was like the grid movement being gone and that being circular, Bowser being a member of your team, Mario. I think he doesn't have a gun this time. Like he has dual shooters, but I don't think they're necessarily gun. Luigi has the bow and arrow, the long range shooter. And then this is kind of set in the world of Galaxy in some ways, because like the enemies are like Yumis meets Rabbids. And like, there's a Rosalina rabbit. I assume Rosalina will be an unlockable character. And then they mentioned that the composers are great. Grant Kirkhope, who did Donkey Kong Country and did the original score, is back. And then he's teaming up with two other people to do the score for this game. And yeah, I think the game is fantastic. And then, of course, it's out in October. So that fills in this... another month for the Switch for it has no games according to Jeff this year. So
I'm looking forward to Mario and Rabbids. I like the first one a lot, so
yeah.
Little Noah, Scion of Paradise, 2D strategy game. It's already out. Rail Grade, it's Roller Coaster Tycoon but with trains.
I will also say, I think this is the part you get into where they just kind of sped run announcements and like montages.
RPG Time, The Legend of Wright. Yeah, like none of this sounds like super interesting.
I will say that Digicudo. I want to see that. I want to see more of that. That looks really cool. Somebody said it's kind of like Scribblenauts. It's like Mad World in style. And it's, I want to see more of it.
Okay. It's evidently already out on Xbox and PC, so...
Oh, okay. I'm going to
Earl. Go buy it.
I will.
Sonic, I will. Sonic Frontiers was shown.
Show!
I was going to say, it was probably the best that Sonic Frontiers had looked.
They edited it.
They like took all the parts that actually included Sonic and cut them.
Well, just like, you know, the longer clips that were out there, like really kind of show off how empty looking everything looks, and it's kind of boring to watch. And this is just like, condense it down to what was like a minute and a half. Or I do think that like Sonic Frontiers, like mechanically looks like it could be okay. I am the Sonic apologist here though, so I don't know. Maybe I'm being too nice. I think my opinion on this is I think that they have the foundation for something that could be good, but it probably needs two more years. You know,
that sounds like most Sonic 3.
But I think this could be really special, and it could be them figuring out Sonic in 3D for once. And it's just I'm gonna buy it and have fun, but it's just I know what the end result's gonna be.
I will also say I think one of the things that made this set showcase better was they actually showed Sonic, not just a sterile environment. They showed kind of a Green Hill Zone-esque area, and they showed
Is it really?
Yeah.
Disney Dreamlight Valley.
Oh yeah.
You can cook with Remy from Ratatouille and fish with Olaf.
I will say this is not necessarily my jam, but I did see a lot of people excited about it because it's essentially Animal Crossing via Disney World.
A little bit, yeah. It looked like it could have kind of more even simulation stuff to it. That's I don't know. It depends how it's actually pulled off. Or if it's super shallow, like that stupid Disneyland fucking game that they put out.
Disneyland Adventures.
Yeah. Where it was oh, here's a nice recreation of the park and play these dumb mini games inside the rides, and I don't know, it just kind of felt cheap. But I'll be honest, this did kind of pique my interest a little bit. I was if they did a good job with this, I like simulation type, life simulation type games, so I don't know, it could be cool.
Right, and you like Disney, so if they give you a Disney version of Animal Crossing that's as good as Animal Crossing, you might be into that.
Yeah, I just don't. I doubt it.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I don't know how to pronounce this. Is it Live Alive or Live Alive?
I don't. I think they say Live Alive. I think Live Alive makes more sense.
Yeah.
The greatest game that everyone knew about. Totally knew about before now.
It was already announced, so.
Well, it's a Japanese game from the Super Nintendo.
Yeah.
So, and everyone was like, oh my god, Live Alive! And I was like, dude, you've never heard of this. Shut the fuck up.
Liars.
There are people who have heard of it, yeah.
Liars.
It looks cool, but yeah, I'm not up on my Japanese locale JRPGs, so. Doraemon Story of Seasons Friends of the Great Kingdom, that is a name. There's no description of what this is, so
we'll have to infinitely undiscover it.
I would say it's I don't think any of us are Doraemon fans. I know it's I think it's an anime character, but
Minecraft Legends, I believe that's the kind of that's the one that was shown at the Xbox event. That's coming next year to Switch as well. Dragon Quest Treasures. I guess that's a new Dragon Quest spinoff.
Yeah.
But you're saying this has been out?
Yeah, in Japan, I think.
Okay.
Still, I think.
I mean, it's new to us. Yes.
I think Melissa will be happy. She likes anything Dragon Quest. So.
Portal Companion Collection, which is a Portal and Portal 2. That's out on Switch.
Out today.
Yes. I am happy for it. I'm happy for people to get to play it. I might pick it up. Because I have actually been trying. Because Portal is not... It's not on PlayStation 4 or 5. I believe it's backwards compatible with the Xbox, but I think it's only on the 360 set of consoles. And it never goes on sale. So...
I think I looked at it. Was it 20?
It's $20 for both of them.
It's just not. It's not like Portal 2 is a full game.
They're both full games.
I mean,
Portal's a little shorter. It's
Yeah,
it's an hour and a half. Yeah. But no, I think two of my all-time favorite games in Portal 2, especially in co-op, is like some amazing, an amazing experience.
And that's only on Switch, right? Like,
yeah, that is a weird one. Like,
where's my achievement?
Right. Well, when Earl said like the Portal Companion, yeah, I was like, oh, yeah, they're bringing it to modern consoles. Like, I'm gonna go get it on Xbox. And it seems like it's only on Switch, and like I already own the old versions, like on stuff. So, yeah,
yeah, get achievements on those again. So, yeah, I just feel like if you wait a little bit, you get that real cheap, and
yeah,
you know,
it'll be on sale. You know, 10, or maybe it won't, because World has said Portal and Portal 2 aren't on sale on the Xbox. So,
but they go on sale constantly on Steam. Like, you could get them for like $5 yeah, right now together.
I own them there. I mean, they basically give them away on Steam because they're Valve games. So,
but it is so weird that like, it's only on Switch, and I think somebody mentioned that it's not even like Valve. I think it's like Nvidia who the Shield. And like, oh, you know, like this is the same technology that kind of powers the Switch, so why not? But I do anticipate it will probably to these other devices soon.
So I think that it'll go up on Xbox and stuff, probably. I don't know.
Harvest Stella?
That is really cool. I don't know if I'd pick it up, but it looks like, I mean, it's Harvest Moon, or I guess Rune Factory. It's Final Fantasy Animal Crossing, essentially. Or I guess it would be Final Fantasy meets Stardew Valley better.
Sin. Yeah.
Where it's like a part farming sim, part turn-based RPG.
Sounds like it could be fun. Looks pretty, so.
November.
Yes, November 4th for that one. The Persona games, as Jeff has mentioned multiple times now. Persona 5 is October 21st. Persona 4 and Persona 3 are not soon. Dated.
Yeah. I will say this much, because as somebody who owns Persona 5 on the PlayStation 4 and who has not started it because he spent the money more, I always say buying video games and playing video games are two different hobbies. I'm much more keen to play Persona on the Switch than the PlayStation, because I on like doing RPGs and grinding on a boat and having to sit in front of a TV and do the same thing. So if it's like I could do Persona at my lunch break at the, you know, I'm going into the office or commuting, I'd much do that. It's the same way I play Pokemon. I hardly play Pokemon on my TV.
I see that, especially if it's grind heavy, like do it in handheld mode while you watch TV, you know, like
yeah. Yeah, you and can then like do this
kind of passively, yeah.
And then when or if you have to move the story forward, you that's when you put on the TV to see the cutscenes, the fun CGI. Whatever,
I'm not saying I won't try one of these one day. I've always been curious about them, but it's not like I don't know. Again,
they're
where's
coming.
Bayonetta, dude? Where's Bayonetta? I guess that's not really third party anymore, is it?
It's a weird one because it's technically it is published by Nintendo, but then like you had something like Fire Emblem Three Hopes, which is called, even though it's a Koei Tecmo game.
The Persona games are also coming to Game Pass, so.
Well, there you go.
Game Pass does not allow me to pay. I guess it does allow me to pay.
If they enable it for cloud play, you should be able to play it portably.
But that's the connection, and that right. Sometimes it's if you're trained. We'll see. I mean, I'm not saying I'm going to buy it. I mean, Persona is also one of those games that sounds great, and like it will be probably $20 like April of next year.
Yep. Last game on this list is Captain Velvet Meteor, the Jump Plus Dimensions. That is also a name. Tactical action game about a boy who's moved to Japan. That is the description here. I don't know. The image here does not give me boy who moved to Japan game. There's like a little blue monster. There's a demon in an electric suit. I don't know. I don't know what this game is. I didn't see the trailer. It's a neat name, though. And that's it on this list here. I don't know.
It's scary, not Jeff's cup of tea.
I'm holding Earl to buying all these games. I look forward to hearing about
them. I did not say at no point did I say I was interested in all these.
I think I heard that actually.
Okay, a little bit.
I did not say I was interested in all these games. I will start off with both of you. So this has been a talking point of this month and probably the past 2 years, is that I think they did a good job of managing expectations. A really good job of presenting it, and I think it was 25 minutes. They kept it brief. They did not, like, nothing went on more than segment was probably Monsanto Sunbreak.
Yeah, the format of their directs is good. That's okay.
Is that they filled out the library this year. I know what you're gonna say, but I mean, it is. I'm not saying that it's like it makes it in, but it fills out, like, they've already, again, what I've said time and time again is, like, I never got in the direct this month because we know Xenoblade's this month, Tunes in September, we had Pokemon in November, now we have Sparks of Hope in October. They've had their kind of big tentpole games. Now it's more about, like, getting those smaller games into that. Like August, that has an audience. I think that Disney game has an audience. I'm not saying it's any of us. It has an audience. That's in.
Every game has an audience, I guess. But, you know, I'm here to say what I'm excited for, what I'm looking forward to, and it's a little bleak. Like, it's like, you know,
that is totally fair. I'm excited for everything in here. I'm not saying I'm excited for everything that's coming out this year, but whatever I know. It gets more than we can say for Sony and Microsoft.
Yeah, I'm not giving them a pass either. Like, I just,
I know you're not. I'm just saying, like, I don't, like, I think you.
I'm sorry.
They'll just turn into a robot.
You broke up there for a second.
To break up a second.
Am I better now?
Yes.
I'm just asking, like, what do you want, Jeffrey? Like, what would make?
I don't know, video games. Like,
I mean, they showed video games.
It showed many video games. They didn't show, like, the typical major Nintendo franchises, which I think is what you want. But they can't do that every time.
And a third party, correct? I would like to see interesting, you know, full fledged third party games, not a bunch of shit that looks like fucking indies that no one will give a fuck about when they come out.
I know.
Or ports of old games. Like, it's just, I don't know, dude. I think we're, like, getting too used to this shit.
I mean, I want to say to Spade, after the past 20 years, you like robust third party support from Nintendo. For Nintendo.
Switch has been pretty good. No, Switch has been pretty good, I think. I don't know.
Okay, name some games on the Switch of the ilk that you're describing.
Mario and Rabbids.
Right. Well, they showed that.
I know. Yeah. That's one.
They literally. So we're not counting that one.
What I'm saying, like,
they literally showed this game. That,
like,
year.
Out of this, like, you know, you just name, like, the rest of the year. It's like, I'm like, I guess I'm gonna buy Splatoon and.
No. I asked you a question, Jeff. Holding you to your statement.
You don't think that there's Switch a decent amount of third-party games on the Switch?
I just asked you to name some, and the only one you named is a game that has a sequel that's coming out this year that they showed at the show you're complaining about.
I mean, there's Monster Hunter Rise. That's
also
that's
showed content big. For
right that they showed content for that.
Right.
I'm not sitting here saying there are third-party games. But, like, I feel like a lot of them fall into the thing that Jeff is. Like, 5. You have, like.
The fucking Witcher's on the Switch, dude. Like, you wouldn't get that on the fucking Wii. You know what I mean? Like, not,
but, like, that falls into the ports, which you were complaining about.
Okay, dude, but I'm just saying, like, there's a lot of games on the Switch. Like, it's not
you're the one saying that you wanted more. I'm like, but the Switch has mostly been ports. and like a few Japanese third party games. It's not like Ubisoft is doing an exclusive by getting Mario. Like, it's not like they're doing like it out of the goodness of their heart.
I'm just saying, like, you getting like the third party games that like show up on the other systems, like that did not happen on the Wii.
No, it didn't happen
on the Wii U. Like you get like a lot, most shit you can play on the Switch. I feel like I don't know. Like
no,
I often have to make a choice of where I want to play.
No, but again, I think it's a double argument that's very contradictory. I think we're both. I think we agree. Who's having a problem with third-party support they're having this year, because like, what third-party games from this year are they missing that you would want?
There's not a lot of games this year all around. Is what I'm not like.
And this was focused on this year. That's what I'm trying. I mean, it was focused on this year, early next year. Like, there are games that are missing. Like, I was still surprised there's been no multiversal announcement for the Switch that's made for the Switch audience. And stuff like that, games that are missing, but for the most part, like, they're getting Midnight Star, they're getting I don't think they're getting Gotham Knights, Harry Potter.
Oh no,
I mean, Batman's a big brand.
Yeah.
they're getting the Harry Potter game, so they have stuff like, I mean, I think a lot of people just don't want to touch the game because I forgot that's coming out this year. Until somebody reminded me that that's supposed to come out in October at some point.
What game is that, Earl?
RPG.
Okay.
What is this called?
Oh, God, I don't know. I got a message on the Epic Game Store to wish list it today.
Yeah, what game?
Harry Potter.
Harry Potter.
Oh, Harry Potter.
Hogwarts Legacy.
Yes. That is out this year.
I'm gonna buy it to own the libs.
You do that.
I'm just kidding. I've never consumed a single Harry Potter thing in my fucking life.
Well, it would be weird to start with this one.
Then you'll know I've gone to the dark side.
It's like, I'm just buying this because there's nothing left.
or that. I'm just really desperate. Watch it get like good reviews and shit.
Hey, if it gets good reviews, I might be in.
But yes, I mean, I always hate because I always end up feeling like I'm just defending Nintendo. I'm not saying that like people had different expectations for what they wanted, but I think what they delivered well on and present. Again, it was not something that was wrong. It was not something that was me to see complex or cynical. It was a presentation. We presented you something like a dozen games you might like, some you won't like. I will agree with you. I think there's a lot of, especially if you're not a huge fan of JRPGs, that's a lot of the third party support for the Switch right now.
Yeah.
It feels like a game 3DS where it's like you get some Atlus games, you get some Sega games, you get some Square games, but like EA, I don't know the last game EA's put out that isn't FIFA.
Madden.
Did they put Madden on the Switch?
No.
Oh, you're just saying, okay, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. All I could tell you is like, I get way less excited about the shit I see, not just from Nintendo, just all around. I'm like, there's not much out there. Like, I gave the Microsoft presentation a pass because they at least, my dick moved twice where I was like, oh, you know?
I did not.
It moved.
All right. Well, I'm glad
Microsoft had a good show too, but.
I'm glad Jeff's dick moved. was there any other news? I just to follow up on that Ron Gilbert thing, for it was the art style for Monkey Island that people are upset about, and they're more than just upset. I mean, they are being quite nasty. So
round those people up, fucking execute them.
Okay, this wasn't news, but it is related. because a quote came out to be from crap, what is that? Did You Know Gaming, that YouTube channel.
Mm-hmm.
Where they talked about originally how Miyamoto hated the Wind Waker style. And people disliked it, and people were like, oh, how could, and I'm like, I was around, Wind Waker was one of the first games I vividly remember being around for. Fans hated that style. And I hate how now folks are like, how could he dislike it so great? I'm like, if you were around in 2001, 2002, people,
there's this weird revisionist history of that time period, not just for like that, for multiple things. Like
Metroid Prime, like they're doing, it's gonna be a first person shooter. You know, people are like mad about that.
Yeah. Yes. And people people pretend that they were on the right side now, but I'm like there's a reason the term
I can't remember. Exists. I can't remember where I fell on Zelda. I mean, I know when I played Wind Waker, I was immediately like, wow, this game is phenomenal. But I can't remember where I fell when I saw like the footage the first time. I don't remember.
I can tell you 110%. I actually love this style because, I mean, like, I think it's hard to say now, but like at the time, there was nothing like it. It looked like a Saturday morning cartoon. And then they actually toned it down because, like, the initial trailer was very much more cartoony. Like, Ink's winking at the camera and stuff like that. And the goblins were a lot more animated. They toned it down a bit more when the game actually came out. But I was like, oh, man, I really love this style because I still am a huge animation fan.
So fitting. Like, I don't know, man. I'd take another Zelda that looks like that. Like,
and that's the thing. I think people would, but I think that they're very scared off because the initial reaction to that was so, like, it was not like, I don't even want to say the initial reaction. This was the reaction for like 2 years, and part of it, and you still see this, like, and you see this with you saw it with Wind Waker, but you also kind of saw this with Breath of the Wild, because like everybody sees like the tech demo, and that's what's in their head. So with Wind Waker, you got that tech demo at Space World 2001 or 2000 with like the realistic Ink and Ganon fighting. And then with Breath of the Wild, you got like that Unreal Engine Ink fighting that giant spider, and people like wanted that. And that's not what Breath of the Wild is.
Breath of the Wild, yeah, like kind of retains some of that.
Breath of the Wild to me is like an evolution of the Skyward style. Where it's like realistic, but it has a unique kind of color grading to it, which makes it like a watercolor painting.
Yeah, it has like, I don't know, it has some broad strokes, and it has like the characters' faces and stuff look very cartoony. I think, I don't know, I have to look at it again, but like, but,
I mean, to get to the overall point. It is very much like, I think, kind of, because I have seen complaints about the style of Return to Monkey Island, and my initial thought was, like, I don't understand, like, maybe because I'm not a Monkey Island fan, I don't know what the other games are, okay? I actually like the style. It has a style to it. But people are upset about it, so I'm like, okay.
I didn't think one way or another. I was like, oh cool, they're doing that. I didn't, like, even notice the art style. Like, oh yeah, Monkey Island. Throw that in the garbage.
You can see his style lies with the characters. You can see it has a style to it. But yeah, it was like one of those things where like people were just like, oh, this is an interesting choice. Which usually whenever somebody says interesting, it means it's not great. But people were adamant that it's, and then I assume in 10 years from now, we'll be like, oh, this is such a great, great looking thing.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. After everybody has had the chance to calm themselves down. Game.
Because, I mean, the thing is, and I think we've had this discussion for our end of the year awards, it's like, that stuff ages far less than, like there are games that like were state of the art like 2 years ago that are not anymore, and that ages it more than, like, a very unique art style. Like, Wind Waker still looks like a really great game.
Yep.
I can't necessarily say the same about other games of that generation.
All right. Was there any other news this past week?
The only other news that I could think of was there was what is it, Spellbreak? The developers of Spellbreak announced that they were well, not canceling, they're killing the game, I think, early next year. And I think this was like Tuesday, and then like Wednesday it was announced that they're being purchased. So I'm trying to remember the name of the developer.
Proletariat Inc.
But yeah, like it was like, and just as a quick aside, because I assume most of people either have not played or heard of it. Spellbreak was like that magic-based Fortnite clone. It's like a battle royale where you had like magical powers and stuff like that, and could cast spells. I think it launched in a pandemic. I want to say 2020, but I could be wrong. And
you are right.
Yes, and the only reason I actually remember this is last week a friend was like, we were looking for new games to play, and it's like, oh, we should play like that magic based. They say co-op game. I'm like, I don't think it's a co-op game. Then they call it Spellbound, which I think is the name of that PlayStation Move magic game, that the one with the book, or I forget what that was called. Whatever. But I did look up Spellbreak, and I'm like, okay, this is what they're talking about. And that's the only reason I even remember this game exists. But yes, it was announced that it's coming down. And then, again, like I said, it was like literally a day later that like they're being purchased by, I want to say, is it Epic? Or
they're being purchased by Blizzard to work on World of Warcraft.
Yeah, so, there we go.
So I guess technically they will ultimately end up being a Microsoft studio.
Yeah.
Yeah, they are being they acquired Spellbreak Studio to work on World of Warcraft Dragonflight. That's the new expansion, I guess, for WoW. All right, well, it's another studio gobbled up.
Yeah, consolidate.
All right, since we've covered the news, let's circle back on some stuff we've been playing, because there was some stuff out there. Fall Guys hit Xbox.
And Switch.
And it's free to play. Yep.
Yes, which has come with its own share of problems. because I forget if you folks played, but I played it because it was a PlayStation Plus title at launch. So I played it, and it was like the third pandemic game after Animal Crossing. No, it was the second. It was that, and then the third one was Among Us, but whatever. So I played a bit of it. I won a few times. I have my crown victories and all that other jazz. So I set that up, and so like you get, you know, as a, I don't know, legacy member, I think that's what they call it. You got a legacy pack. So I signed on to my PlayStation, got all that. I got like my crowns were converted into points and all that other stuff. No problem. Easy peasy. I signed on to my Xbox account because that's where I actually prefer to play it. And none of that stuff carries over. And I don't really know what to do. And I'm not the only person who's done it. But I've heard of that issue before, which is why I signed on my PlayStation account beforehand, to make sure that my PlayStation was the first and primary account. And yeah, nothing's come of it. I've tried to buy stuff to help in hopes of it unlocking, and like, no, nothing. And I'm like,
not just like progression is not carrying over between systems.
Yeah. No progression, and no, I mean, for me, really, it's the perks on I unlocked. I mean, I earned them.
Yeah, you want your unlocks, you want your cosmetics that you previously had.
And I mean, honestly, calling a spade a spade, I want my cheap achievements, because I mean, some of that stuff I've already won. I've already acquired epic gear and stuff like that. I just want those cheap achievements. So, because yeah, I sent them to my PlayStation. It was like 2 minutes of like trophy, 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 trophy.
Yeah, since I did not previously play it, I have not had any of that issue. I have heard people that played it previously also don't like how it's been monetized.
No, and the other thing, and I don't, maybe it's just me, and maybe I just don't remember, but I feel like it's they've added an aspect of input lag that wasn't there before. Because, like, I just can't time the jump anymore. I feel like there's, like, a good second between when I press the button and when the character interacts. And, like, some of that stuff you need to, like, time the jumping. It's essentially a physics platformer in some fancy way. And, like, the fact that I get thrown off by a second or two really just screws up my game.
I haven't noticed that, but
and again, it could just be
not there.
And part of the reason I want to play it on my Xbox is because I have an Xbox Series X versus a PlayStation 4. One of them is newer than the other, and I assume one of them probably gets more attention than the other when it comes to updates. So that was why I'm frustrated with it. So we will see.
Jeff, you've played a little bit of Fall Guys, yes?
Yeah.
How are you liking it?
I fucking love Fall Guys. This will be on my top 10 list. I don't care if that breaks the rules. I think it's fucking
great.
Does
it break
the rules? It's an Xbox release.
Jeff's list. So.
Yeah, Fall Guys is fucking great. It's very frustrating because, like, you could be doing everything right, and then, like, there was one time, I swear to God, I was, like, about to cross the finish line. I would have been in, like, the first, like, five people to cross the finish line, and then they drop a fucking log, and it fucking throws me all the way down the goddamn ramp. But I'm generally good at, like, those race ones. It's the ones where it's just, like one fall. Like, you're just trying not to fall off something.
Yeah, there's one that's, like, there's, like, three cannons at the end, and you're on, like, a seesaw type thing. And
that one I'm okay at. I'm okay at that.
But if you, like, get caught up on, like, another person or something, you get
fucked. I know. Like, it's, like, yeah, sometimes it's not your fault. Yeah. Like, there's, like, the ones where, like, you'll be standing on a ring, and it's kind of, like, jump over the stick that's coming around, or and when the two sticks line up in such a way that it's like impossible to jump, like it's just like fuck. And then there's fan blowing, like there's certain ones I don't like. Like I guess this is kind of a race one too, where it's like here's like a bridge with a bunch of false tiles and feel your way across it, and everyone's like bunched up together waiting for some dumbass to like test out the tiles for them. I hate that one. Like there's ones I don't like for sure. And somehow I've never made it to the final round. Like I almost made it to the final round once. But it doesn't matter, 'cause I know I'll make it at some point. I'm sure I'll probably win one at some point. And it's just a neat idea. It's really fun. It feels like there's a lot of, variety to the level. Like there's a lot of the levels, like
there's a lot.
It feels like they probably added to the game as it, you know, it's been out for a while.
Well,
I don't know.
They like added a bunch of new game mode, I guess, new game types or whatever today, with like they added a Halo event. So like they're all those are supposedly new as well, so they've been adding like every time there's new stuff coming in, and they've been adding games since it released 2 years ago.
I also tried out playing multiplayer with a friend.
Mm-hmm. How'd that go?
It's interesting. Like, have you guys tried duos?
I've tried duos and squads, yeah.
Yeah, so it's like, duos is like, you're only as good as it's kind of an average of...
Yeah, you're only as good as the weakest person on your team.
I mean, you could fall somewhere in between, right? Like, I could cross the finish line first. If you're in last, maybe we won't qualify. You know what I mean? Like, it's and if you're willing to not get mad about it, which I am, I am not taking the game seriously at all. I think this game is just kind of a hoot. Like, I'm not playing it like yeah. Sometimes I get upset when I get fucked over, but I'm not like sitting there expecting to win. And I'm not like, I'm just having fun, you know. And so. I enjoyed playing it with my buddy. I told him, well, we'll play it more, and I have not. Ignoring those invites because I'm watching some fucking show. But
friends don't die.
it wasn't a lie at the time. I meant it at the time.
Friends don't die.
But
this is your viral promotion for Stranger Things Season 4, Part 2 on Netflix now.
Yeah, I don't know, man. This game is fucking great. Like, this is the game that I would have paid money for. You know? It's that good, I think.
It is. It is. I paid it again this week. Like I said, I got into it. And it very much reminded me of, like, if Nintendo actually understood how online work, this was, like, something they would make. Because it is very much, like I said, it's a platformer via Gang Beast or something like that. And I think I have not played in a while. I did not realize how complicated and elaborate some of the stages have gotten. especially early on, where it's like, yeah, platform through this obstacle course, and like the top three of you who make it get onto the next round.
The I'm similar to you, Jeff. I really like the race stuff, but there's one, yeah, there's just one that I fucking despise. It's all these bounce pads. And it's just so frustrating because if you don't bounce like correctly, like, and you sometimes you can't judge exactly how far you need to bounce. Yeah. It's like it gets a little frustrating.
I generally enjoy the bounce pad ones, but there are some race ones where I get hung up, and I hate them for whatever reason. I'm trying to think which one I really. I think sometimes I get caught up on those spinning hammers for some reason, which is like those should not be hard. You just gotta go with the flow on them.
Yeah, you run the way that they're turning and yeah, they'll bounce you forward.
But sometimes they just catch me up somehow. And it's like once you start to get hit, like the time it takes you to get recover from things sometimes like fucks you over too. You're just like getting bounced around and fucked over. I swear to God, when this log hit me and threw me down this fucking ramp, I was I did get mad then, because I was like, dude, I was ready to like I would have been in easily the top 10 of this race, and I just got fucked over and over and over. Like you're trying to get up, then you get hit again, and there's fucking people bouncing into you and shit. It's like fuck, but that's kind of like. This is a game where you have to like accept the comedy of it, you know what I mean, where it's like that's kind of what's funny about it. It's like people getting fucked over. There'll be people that just stand there and try to push you,
oh
like,
yeah,
stop you from like, and it's that's funny, like I don't know, like so, stupid.
So well, there was like one that like, and this just kind of like annoys me, is so I had already finished the match, but I've also seen it happen where like somebody's they hang out at the finish line.
Yes, yes. They just try to stop people.
And it's like,
yes, that still happens.
Yeah,
that used to happen. That used to happen in the old one, and I don't even know why. Like they would stand and like, grab people and like push them
and
aside.
They're just gonna kick out of it, I guess. I don't know.
It's like to me, it's like, man, you are like such a fucking epic troll. Like, like I just want to like, if you were here, I would probably punch you because you're just a dick. You're like dancing in front of the fucking line. Waiting for the person. Oh, it's 39 out of 40. Oh, I'm just going to cross the line now. Fuck you. Like, it's like, I hate you. I really hate you.
Have you played it, Tony? Oh, Tony's... Okay.
Did we lose Tony?
I see how it is.
I think I just muted myself actually. Oh.
He was like, I don't want to hear them hear me.
I hate this game so much. I played it for hours and hours and I hate it. No, I haven't played it all yet.
I don't know if you'll like it, Tony, because like it's the platforming's not precise.
Oh no!
And I mean, you can definitely get used to it, I think, but it's not like you don't have a whole lot of control because you're like this weird bean guy, and he waddles, and it's like you don't have like precision control over everything. It's very much like just let it flow.
Oh no.
I just, you know, I've always loved this type of, like, remember, I bring this game up all the time, Doritos Crash Course. I love that type of game. Like,
I mean,
it's
like, it's a, what's that show that was on AB?
Wipeout. Wipeout, yes. It's very much like that.
Yeah.
I love that. Like, it's just fun. Like, I don't know. Like, and here, it's like, you know, the spin is like, I hit with a bunch of people. Like, I don't know. Like, it's fucking awesome. Like,
I like that it's quick too.
I was gonna say it would be. I don't think it can be enough. It would be a really fun like Tuesday night game if we did it. But I think you can only have four people in a squad.
Yeah. Oh, you can do custom games though. So we could race against
all of us. But
just us.
But all of us going through like a thing and seeing who. Because like that's the other thing, like especially in squad. Because squad is different. Because squad is like you get points based off your team performance. I think, and I assume it's still in there. Originally, like if you join up with people, you still get points individually.
Yes.
So it'd be like, oh, okay, my friend got it. I got eliminated, but my friend's still in it. I'm gonna continue watching until they get. And like, yeah, like you'd see friends go further. Like now with the squad, if you all get eliminated once, it's like. Back to the menu, let's try again. But I used to like watching like either me or my friend like, oh no, okay, you're in the final round. I'm like rooting you on like, oh no, don't jump there, don't jump. Like it has that spectator sport element to it. I assume that's still in there. I don't know. But because they have the squad thing now.
I don't know. I'm enjoying it. I finished third a couple times. It's like I don't understand the final rounds for the most part. So like I am just like the ones where like the things fall below, I'm just like trying to run across everything, and like people definitely seem to know what they're doing. Like they
You don't run because running kills
you want to jump.
Yes, because I mean
hoppity hop,
either that or you get ahead of people, you cut off their path forward.
Yeah, but I was just like bisecting the entire thing. just like run straight across. There's a big gap in the middle now.
You don't want, you don't want to bisect because then you screw yourself over. What you want to do is, and I think it's hexagons. It's like you kind of want to create a pattern where like the outer, you basically want to work out inwards so that it gets smaller and smaller. Because, like, in theory, what you want to do is, like, you want to remain high up as much as possible.
Yeah.
Or get to a range where people are going to fall before you do.
Yeah.
That one looks like the most fun to me. Like, I never got the final round, but I've watched a couple of final rounds, and it's like, I hope when I do get to a final round that I get that one. That one looks like so much fun.
It's that one, and then the other one, and again, I don't know if there was one that's kind of like American Gladiators or whatever. It's basically just kind of like a thing that goes around in a circle.
Cylinders spinning, right?
Yeah.
I do not want to do that. Hate that shit.
There's two cylinders. So there's one that has the hexagons, and like it's like that one with the honeycombs that go down levels. It's the same thing. Mm. It's a cylinder, but like the little panels, like they drop down three levels, but they're all one on top of the other. And then there's the one that has like the barriers and the bounce pads that spin around over the goo as well.
Yeah, that's one I've seen, I think, and I don't like this.
It's good stuff though.
It's a fun game. I love it.
I will probably I'll probably play enough to like get, you know, the advance 100 rounds or whatever.
I think it has a permanent spot on my Xbox. I don't think it takes up much space either, so
I'm going to play that Halo event, get the cat helmet. I'm still just sporting the standard bean guy though. I haven't equipped
I equip whatever they give me. Like, they give me, like, little spike bracelets for my wrists, and they gave me little sandals now, like little flip-flops.
I've been waiting for a reward. Like, sometimes, like, if you check the Microsoft rewards, like, they'll be like, you know, buy this season of, I think, the roller skating game is currently up there. Like, if you buy the season pass for the roller skating game, we'll give you 2,500 points or whatever. I've been waiting for buy the season pass for Fall Guys, and we'll give you 2,500 points. Because a lot of the stuff is locked behind the season pass. Like, you unlock everything on the thing, but you don't get access to it if you haven't bought the season pass yet. All right, a couple other games before we do our Hall of Fame here. Real quick, I have played most of Balan Wonderworld now.
Most? Wow, that's awesome.
I'm on the 11th world out of 12. And that's awesome. I don't hate that game.
Holy shit.
Like, it is... All the things that people like were like, oh, all the buttons do exactly the same thing. Yeah, they do. Like, all the face buttons. There's only one action for each of the costumes you get. But where the game, like, is different is that you need to use those costumes to get around the environment. Jumping doesn't always advance you because you might need the dragon costume to get rid of an obstacle in front of you because you can't jump over it. So like there's like some complexity. It's pretty simplistic, but there's some complexity to the costume system. I think there's like 80 total costumes. I've unlocked a bunch of them. Some of the levels are better than others. The last one I played, level 10, was this like it was like where there's like staircases and stuff that are all over the place, and you go through these mirrors and it rotates the room, so then the platforms kind of move as well, so it changes the kind of how the environment looks. I don't know, I understand where people are like, oh, this is fucking terrible, it's super weird, but I don't think it's as bad as what some people were saying. Like, it is not the worst thing I've ever seen, and in fact I'm having some fun with it. So
I am like absolutely shocked to hear you say this, because I thought the demo was absolute trash.
So I wonder if the demo is just like that first farm world.
Dude, what I've seen in reviews didn't look much better. And like the thing, I forgot what they said about the power-ups. It's like you don't have any control over them, or they just like give you these power-ups that doesn't make sense for what you need to do. I forgot what they said about the power-ups, but so
that's in. I mean, if that's what they're saying, I don't understand that at all, because each of the power-ups, like, are required to get you through the level.
I'd have to watch
but, you guys. But as you play late, like, you can revisit the games, and then you can use any of the power-ups you've collected. The one weird thing is that you have to kind of bank the power-ups. So if you die, like, with the... Like, if you die, if you fail a level, you lose all the power-ups you've collected. And that's a little weird, because, like, there's one that's... There's a couple that are just super overpowered. There's this, like, frost one where basically you throw down ice in front of you and you can climb anywhere. It's like a frost fairy or something. And that one is, like, super overpowered because you can just get to areas where you cannot get with the normal costumes. And there's some that are just completely useless on other levels. Like, there's a train one where your guy can, like, basically goes on, like, this train track, and you grind, like, in Ratchet on it. But most levels don't have the train track, so if you go in with the train guy, you can't use it for anything. But you only get that on that level, so, like, there's no need to bring it into another level.
I think there's a power-up... That's like you get it, but you don't have like control over what it does, so it kind of like is hard to. I don't know. It's like it makes you jump on its own, and you're like, "What the fuck?" Like, and that's not what it does, but it's something like, you know what I'm saying. It's like
there's a chess piece that has cannons on it, and like the way it moves is it jumps like, and it automatically shoots the cannons out four ways. You have four cannons coming out. Yeah. Of it. Like, you don't have control over when it shoots or how it shoots, like, but...
It's something like that, that the person was like, this is, like, actually not helping me. Like, it's worse for me. But that doesn't sound like something that would, like, be a detriment. Like,
no, it's like, and you know why you need it, because there are puzzles that require you to, like, be able to shoot four different ways, because they've set it up specifically that this one puzzle needs that specific costume.
I'll go watch the bad reviews and report back. I'm just amazed. Do you play like the Sonic games? You should play the Sonic games.
with me. No.
See, you think this is good? You'd be blown away. Like, Sonic Forces is amazing.
Does Jeff get paid by the game? So by Sega,
I genuinely think like games like Sonic Forces are not nearly as bad as like I'm like the way Chris is sounding about Balan Wonderland is like that's how I feel about like Sonic Forces. Like I'm like that game's not bad. Like it functions kind of well, and if you like speeding through like as Sonic, it's fun. Like I don't know. Yeah. Like
I think this. I don't know what the expectation was for this game. And granted, I went in with so like below basic expectations. So like that I'm having any fun with it is kind of like, yeah, this I mean, whatever. I spent $2 on the game. I feel that I'm getting my money's worth out of it. I put like 9 hours into it. So and I'm not like dreading playing it.
Like, you heard of Hat in Time?
That's one I've not heard of.
Another 3D platformer.
Real quick update on Nobody Saves the World. I think I've hit a wall with that game. It gets hard.
I didn't get that far.
Does it?
I mean, I'm playing by myself. You played in co-ops. Maybe it's it's like a legendary dungeon that you have to clear because I guess that's where you get your. I don't know. It's something that I'm supposed to clear. There's an achievement associated with it, and it's tough. Like if I use healing items or if I use any healing like abilities, it heals the enemies as well.
Oh yes, okay. I know that dungeon.
It's not fun.
Yes, and again, I really do break at some point. It feels like a game designed for co-op because then it's like, okay, one person dies, I'm gonna hold out and wait until you respawn, and then I will die so you can get health that way.
I could see how that, like, you could kind of trade off, like, do the damage you need to the enemies, and also because you have two people, you can set up your abilities to take care of the wards. Like a little bit easier. Like you generally have access to abilities that you can spread them all around, but you know, without mana sometimes you can't utilize them all.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm just like I'm struggling with that dungeon, and like I'm also they totally lock your progression at that in that dungeon. Like you don't advance your quests to upgrade your characters.
Yes, and that does happen too. That's also very annoying. But it also means that you can go kind of buck wild with your stronger characters.
Yeah. So I'm looking up like some walkthroughs to see if there's a way for me to what's the best build to take into that to try and get through it. Overall I like it, but is there a hard limit on like the amount of levels you can advance?
I mean, I think you get to a point where I think a character gets to A or S, and then like there's nothing that happens afterwards. But
like nobody's level, like there's like also the number level that keeps advancing, and like you get a buff on your stats each time that goes.
I don't think there's a limit on that. I mean, I do think at some point it becomes harder because like a lot of it is tied to, because it's not tied to XP necessarily. It's tied to either like the craft specific upgrades or nobody, and nobody himself is tied very specifically to the story of the game. Like his level ups are the story.
Yes. Yes.
But like, yes, I don't. I think we reached like level 50 something. And,
okay, so yeah. It goes by because you can buy quests that like are never ending quests. They just reset. Yes. So you can always gain experience. But I've also seen that like the area levels aren't hard locked, so it's not like, oh, this level up here is always like, you know, level 24. So if I'm level 29, I should be able to move up there because now it's level 27. So it's like always. Kind of seems like it's always progressing forward with you.
Oh, I did not notice that at all. I guess I was not paying attention. Again, it's very different when you're playing, I guess, co-op. Because it's like, yeah, there were places where it's like, oh, we'll come back here later, but a lot of places it was like, it was fine. And again, I think it's different when you have co-op because it's like, okay, one person can die. I'll hide in a corner until you respawn and we'll just kind of try to chuck along.
I don't know. I'm enjoying it. I'll keep poking at it, but and hopefully I can get by that dungeon. it's cool enough.
And if you want, I can tag in for a session just to help you get out of it.
Oh yeah, that might be good. I will let you know if I can't get through there. Jeff, you fell off that game, yeah?
Yeah, I don't know. I kind of liked it at first, but like. The thing about a game like that is like I like to feel invested in one character, not yeah.
And like it's this is more of like kind of like
you're constantly swapping,
advancing all yeah. And like in fact, you want to like swap between different ones and because that's how you kind of move through the game. Tony, did you play any of it, or was that your kids playing it?
That was my kids played through the whole thing.
Oh, so. Nice.
Yeah. So they've mastered this game basically. So you think it's too hard?
I mean, I've hit a wall.
It definitely the end looks insanely, insanely difficult.
And it seems much better or more feasible in co-op.
Yeah.
Something else built for co-op, but Jeff's not playing in co-op. He's playing by himself. Fallout 76, Jeff. Quickly tell us about that.
I don't think it's built for co-op. But
it's supposed to be like their online Fallout game, right?
It's online. Okay. I've played a decent amount of Fallout 76 now. And first off, I'd say like the time to play Fallout 76 is right now, or like probably within the last year, because they have made this a fucking game, and it feels like a Fallout game, you know, with, you know, like this open world multiplayer, like, layer on top of it, but it's like, maybe there's more to the multiplayer, but as far as I could tell, it's like, you could see other players in the world if they're there, you could see their, like, house or base that they've built, right? And, you know, public events will be popping up all the time, and you can join those. And I'd recommend that you do join those. Because you get, like, the legendary loot. A lot of legendary loot for doing those. And it'll be like, you know, protect this area while these things are coming in and, you know, protect this robot that's trying to do something, whatever, you know what I mean? That's kind of like, as far as I can tell, that's kind of the multiplayer element, unless there's like more to it that I'm missing, or like there's more in the end game shit that you're supposed to do together.
I think like in general, like you can kind of form up gangs or whatever, and like you can all cohabitate in your fort or whatever and share resources and stuff.
You can join a team anytime you're in the game, and I always forget to do this, but most people join a team just because it gives you stat perks, like stat boosts. So like it'll okay. Bump up your perception, or you know, like so like you'll constantly see someone created a casual team. And if I was not stupid and like remembered just to hit start and I could join it, they don't expect you to do anything. It's just literally like the people that are on the same server as you will join a team, quote unquote, just so for those stat boosts. Okay. Like you're not actually doing anything with these people. The game itself, though, like you know, I played very little of it when it came out, but it was kind of like. That element of it and that's it and like a bunch of like mini like quests that like robots and shit would give you, but this is like at this point it has like several full big like storylines that you could play through, and the main storyline I think is the one I think it is called Wastelanders that they've added, and that is like this whole storyline where you're like trying to track down the person that was running the vault you were in, and she's telling you about how like this whole world's been overrun by this virus, this like disease that's spreading, and you're trying to like both you know, find a cure for it, like the vaccine for it, and then to convince people that they need the vaccine. So it's, I don't know if this is ringing any bells for you.
That goes real well.
Yeah. That's like kind of a big main one. And I actually looked earlier today on like howlongtobeat.com or whatever it is. And I think that portion of it alone is like 30 hours. And it, you know, it's like a full
game. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm actually, you know, and you know, you start getting all these quests and you start bouncing between them based on where you are on the map. I'm actually doing this other one that they added, which was like the Brotherhood, you know, the Brotherhood of Steel or whatever. Yeah, the dudes that like roll up around in fucking power armor. Yeah. I'm doing that, and that's supposedly like 5 hours or so. And I'm like, okay, I'm gonna try to knock this one out just to like have less fucking things cluttering up my fucking HUD. But yeah, like, so like there's like, and then, you know, of course, like if you like stop and talk to, first off, like, yeah, if you stop and talk to like every like NPC you see, like you'll keep racking up miscellaneous side quests. And, you know, this is a game that I think didn't have NPCs when it released. So it's added a ton. Like I've heard like in 2021, they did not add it like, you know, a ton, but like, I don't know, man, between 2018 and 2020, they turned the thing from like a desolate train wreck to a real Fallout game. Which is with like these it has like the multiplayer element on top of it. It has a little bit more of a survival element on top of it, but not really. It's like, you have a thirst and hunger meter that you should try to like not keep empty, but like nothing really happens to you if like they're empty. Like, I think it like your action points drain faster if you're not fed, and you know, and your action points is like if you sprint or if you use your VAT system. You know, that your action points drain. It's like, you know, just, it's like your stamina meter, right? So yeah, I guess keep yourself fed to keep that going. They added what, base building in Fallout 4, right?
Yep.
And the neat thing about, like, I never got into the base building in Fallout 4, but like the neat thing about that was like all the junk that you collected was useful now, because it was like you would turn it into scrap, and that would be resources, like it'd be steel and, you know, adhesive or whatever, you know, that you need to like build stuff, right? And I think they just kind of like, they've really beefed out that portion of it, like the, and I never got into the base building in Fallout 4, and maybe that was like, it'd be one of the reasons like I did not like Fallout 4 much. It feels like, yeah, like that's like a bigger part here. It feels like you want to do that. Like, at first I was ignoring the base building in this, and finally I was like, okay, I'm going to start doing that. And I started building myself a cabin and building, like, you know, different workbenches, like a armor bench, a weapon bench. And like, I started really getting to that, to the point where I was like, I want to build a tinker bench where you get like tinker with stuff. And I didn't have any oil, so I ended up spending like a couple hours just like running around the game looking for like desk fans or whatever that would like convert into oil, you know what I mean? Like, it's total time waster of a game. Like, you could easily like sit down and play for 2-3 hours, you know what I mean? Like, and just kind of fuck around. Once I got my log cabin built and I had like all like the workstations and a bed and the things I want, like I built onto it a little bit. Like, I added like a giant neon light inside of my house, and I figured out how to hook up electricity finally, which is, I think, is one of the most confusing things about their base building thing. It's like, you have to build a generator, then you have to build a power pylon, and then you have to like connect wires, and it's like there's like a learning curve to it, right? But I got like these basic things done, and I'm like, all right, I have not built onto my cabin since. so like, I wonder like if like that part's just gonna fall by the wayside for me. But man, I've run into other people's camps, and some people have like really built like these amazing looking houses with like all this cool like, you know, they have a greenhouse on the side. Like, that's the other cool thing too, is like, you kind of want, like, you need resources, and you can, like, build your shit out, like, your base out to, like, produce resources for you. Like, you could build a water purifier, so, like, all the dirty water you find or whatever, like, is constantly, like, making you pure water. Like, I don't know, like, it feels like they really, like, fleshed out that portion of the game, which I know, again, I think there was people that were really into the base building in Fallout 4, and it was something I kind of like was like, I don't like building shit, fuck this. Now that I like gave it more of a chance in here, I think it's pretty neat. I hope I like, I don't know, I at the very least I'm like gonna play through whatever is here to play.
Yeah.
I've watched like, you know, some reviews that I watched this one review that like explained it well. He's like, this is not like an MMO, like, you know, it doesn't have like endless like dungeons and or like caves and shit for you and other players to explore. It's just a big open world like Fallout game with like some open world multiplayer shit going on. Like, it does kind of have an end, but like, that review says that, and yet I see people running around that are like level 300, or I'm like, you know how slow you level up in these like games, right? Like, you guys have played like,
yeah,
Fallout. It's not like you know, I've put a decent amount of hours in this. I'm like level 23, and I'm like, how the fuck is somebody like a level 130 something, like, or three level 300 something, like,
it's just become their forever game.
Yeah, like, there are people that do treat it as, like, this, like, never-ending MMO, but, like, I feel like at some point the content will run out, and I will say, I have logged this game, good to go, get it off the hard drive, you know what I mean? I do feel like there will be an end point for me, and that'll be when I play through all the storylines, and,
by then, Starfield will be out.
Yeah. So like on howlongtobeat.com or whatever, it says like, I think it says like main story 33 and a half hours. Main story plus extras is like 100 something hours, like 105 hours. And then it said completionist like 375 hours or something crazy. So like, it's one of those games. It's like you could play it for, you know, 50 hours, you can play it for fucking hundreds of hours. It's not short either way. You know, it's definitely a game that I don't know. Like, Chris, you were like considering playing it. I'm like, I don't know if you'd like it or not. Like, it's not even like, you can't run through it quite as much as you would their other games, I don't think.
Right, I guess you can mainline like Fallout 3 and Fallout 4.
Yeah, I think maybe you could mainline this, but I think you would just like miss
stuff.
Any of the hook of it, you know, like you want to go do these public events that pop up because you're going to be getting better items and shit from it. And so like you're not going to be quote unquote mainlining. You're going to be dicking around a little bit,
right?
And the cool thing about like, you go join these like public events, and sometimes they'll be like, you know, I'm level 15. And it's like recommended level 50. Like, I would get fucking destroyed in it. It doesn't matter because there's like 20 dudes fighting off shit for you, and they don't expect you to do anything. Like, they know that you're just like a lower level player there to like get some fucking XP and get some cool loot. And they'll even stick around after and like give you stuff. Like, it's, you know, it seems like it has a pretty nice community of people on there too, you know.
That's good, cuz a lot of online games just have shit communities, so
it's nice. They seem nice. I mean, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
So I guess that's it. It's pretty fleshed out Fallout game now. Like, it hasn't given me any like amazing moments like where like, you know, like in Fallout 3, where it's like, do you nuke this city or not? Or, I don't know, do you want to fuck this robot, like in New Vegas? Like, it's not like...
Those are two very special examples.
Those are two most memorable ones. But, like, I think that's the one from Fallout 3. Like, you guys remember, do you want to nuke this city?
Yeah. Like, it's, like, right at the beginning. Felt, it's, like, one of the pretty, first choices. Like,
yeah. That felt pretty consequential. Like, and it's, like, here, at first I thought there wasn't any of that. And as it goes on, there's, like, there are things that happen. Where, like, you know, I was trying to... do a mission for the Brotherhood. I went to go question this family living in a farmhouse. And then, like, the two sons were like, oh my God, you work for the Brotherhood? Like, that's so cool. Can we join them? And then, like, it felt like I did have some, like, agency on what was going on. Cause, like, both those sons wanted to join. And I could have said, no, it's not for you. Your parents don't like that. Like, you know, the mom didn't want them to go. Or I could say, you guys should definitely do this. And then I got to, like, and I of course, encouraged them. And then I was like, I got to choose which son came to help with me. You know, I got to talk to them both. And I got to talk to both the parents. And it was interesting, too. Like, I got the mom to agree to it. And then I asked the father, like, what do you think about your son joining the Brotherhood? And he's like, well, you heard what my wife said. And it was like, they had scripted it out as... if the wife said this, like, the father would respond to that. Like, it really started to feel like there was some of that, like, interesting choices and conversations happening. So, I don't know. I'm enjoying it quite a bit. And it's in a time where there's not a lot of games to play. It's an awesome, like, time sink. So.
All right.
There you go.
Tony, you were... mostly out for the last week plus. That's right. Did you play anything though?
I didn't play a lot when I was at the airport. I have been playing through Assassin's Creed Origins,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, on Game Pass now. I didn't finish the first time around. I don't actually remember why I didn't.
It's long. That might
it's
be a
long.
While.
And I think that's the issue with the last couple. I finished Odyssey, but it was like 60. I didn't finish the most.
Valhalla, yeah.
Which was an awesome, awesome game, but it's too long. So, I don't know. There's nothing out, so it's nice to.
I beat it. Just saying.
Beat Origins or you beat Valhalla?
Valhalla.
I don't know. I feel like people complained about, like, having to grind for the next level in Odyssey. I feel like there was more of that involved. You have to do every single quest and, like,
yeah I guess so, yeah,
in every area in order to get leveled up high enough to move on to the next area.
You're right but it was like, I don't know, the moment to moment was so fun, so like I stuck with it. Yeah,
I think my biggest problem with Origins was I didn't get into the combat for some reason the first time around. This time, for some reason, I just seem to have gotten.
Well, that's good. So maybe you'll make it through the main quest here.
Right. Assuming, again, I don't get distracted because it's so...
Yeah. Ooh, there's a pyramid over there.
Right. And that's kind of it. And this game, like, it doesn't force you to level up like the last two have, but there are things in it that, like, incentivize you doing all of that. Like, for instance, your I don't know, if you want to, like, synchronize with all the points, like, there's XP for that, but it also increases the perception of your little eagle dude who can tell you where everyone is from a certain range. And, you know, the more times you go to those points and synchronize them, the farther that range gets.
Right, so you basically can, like, mark everybody if you're hitting all the points.
Yeah, exactly. You walk into it's like a fortress, and you know exactly where every single enemy is. Quite advantageous. So you kind of try not to skip any of those synchronization points.
Yeah, it seemed like that was one of the, like, cool things in the early Assassin's Creed games. You always wanted to do them. There was, like, achievements associated with, like, getting them all. But then they started adding so many in the later games, and they felt like they stopped being worth anything. So like it was nice for Origins to bring that back and like give it a, give you a reason to do them.
Now, I mean, basically in Odyssey, the only reason to do them was for the fast travel points.
Yeah.
I need to get here quickly because the map is so large. Can't get by without fast travel. But I'm enjoying it. It's fun.
Good.
I'm still in the parts that I've played through, though, so I'm looking forward to having like actual new content.
I mean, being as there's not a lot of big games coming out, you have some time to poke at it. So, Earl, you play anything else this week besides Turtles?
Turtles, we talked about.
Yeah.
Fall Guys, we've you already mentioned Nobody Saves the World. I feel like there was something I played, and the fact that it's not coming to me says it was a very important game that I need to talk about. I assume it was either a demo or something on Game Pass. I had Game Pass, but there are times where I play a game and I'm like, oh, okay, this is not for me, and I move on. It happens. It happens big time. And I didn't get Fire Emblem or Mario Strikers yet. That is on my to-do list this weekend. So I don't think there is any. I guess just real quick, I did play through, I think since we last recorded, I played through Halo 3 on the Master Chief Collection.
Mm-hmm.
And that was enjoyable enough, but I really, really just learned, I really dislike to throw at enemies.
Oh, yeah, they suck.
Yes, I thought about it, for some reason, I honestly think I just block it out. Because I know they're a big part of the first game. I just kind of assumed they were done after that. They're part of 2 and 3 as well, and they are just not fun to engage with, especially in 3, because it's a much tighter space. And I think it kind of hurts an overall... I think 3 has better pacing and better level design. But then the threats show up, and it's like, why?
And there's like 2 or 3 whole levels in 3 that are just flood.
Yes. And again, they are not. And then it's like everything around them pops, and it makes more flood. And it's like, and they give you like your long range weapons, and it's like, you kind of want like a Nietzsche or an assault rifle, just kind of like spray and get rid of as much of them as possible, as quick as possible. And then they introduced that, like, I guess, like, the Venus flytrap ones that go on the walls and start shooting, like, spikers at you.
Yep.
And those are annoying because they take a lot of ammo to get rid of, and you need ranged weapons for that, but you don't always want to carry ranged weapons when you're dealing with the flood, so it's a crapshoot. That said, I did remember the other game I wanted to talk about is that because of the other affair with Ninja Turtles, and because me and my friend actually bought this ahead of time, I started playing Scott Pilgrim vs. the World again, and that is a very similar but different type of beat 'em up. I think really the big difference is like the hitbox is so much smaller in that game. Like, I think Ninja Turtles is all keen with you. It's like, we want you to beat the crap out of enemies. You go and you have fun, and you get a little bop of your noise because you do so well. With Scott Pilgrim, is like, you got to be like right on top of these enemies, but not too close because like then it's just going to wow. And like they will dodge. They will dodge. They will block so much, even when it's two people fighting them. And it's like, oh. And then like when they hit you in combos. It is annoying. And then I like, oh, but don't worry, we have a level up system. Like, awesome. But our level up system is like, you buy stuff, but we won't tell you what it does until you actually purchase one. So you waste your money and hope for the best. And it's like, why is this a system in the game? Why did anybody choose to do this? And then like, I think there's only 7 levels because like Ramona's 7 evil exes. But then, like, those levels take, like, half an hour, and it actually kind of becomes tedious because it's like, I just kind of want to be done with this. I don't want to be here for a while.
That doesn't sound fun.
It doesn't, and I feel like there should be a giant butt coming afterwards, but, I mean, I will continue paying it, but, like, hindsight, what it was, I feel like people overhyped this game for what it turned out to be.
Jeff, did you ever play Scott Pilgrim?
No.
It doesn't sound like a Tony game either. I did not like the movie, so I didn't have any, like, feeling to play the game.
You also didn't like the movie? I didn't like the movie either. Yeah, I like, what's her name?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I love Mary Elizabeth Winstead. Yeah, but
especially in that movie. She's very cute, but I was ahead of the curve on that one, because, like, that's a movie people have kind of turned on since. Like, there's people that, like, hate it now, like, a lot. And I was, like, I was original hater on that movie. Fuck that movie.
Okay, I know. Okay,
bullshit.
We are 2 hours into this podcast. We still have another segment to go.
Yeah,
but I am very fascinated. Why do you hate Scott Pilgrim versus the World?
Who, me?
Yes, you.
I said I didn't like it. Like, I didn't like it.
Oh, you were just talking about, like, other people hated it. Like, yeah, I've been.
Well, there. Other people hated it. I think why people hated it now, I don't entirely understand. I think there might be some weird political element to it, like an incel vibe. I don't know. Again, it's like that movie 500 Days of Summer. That's another one, like, everyone was, like, raving about at the time, and now people are like, there's a little bit of an icky element to it.
I mean, there is. But I still like that movie.
I did like that movie when it came out.
Like, that icky element I get, because, I mean, it's very much a girl who breaks up with him and he's still trying to get with her. And, but yeah.
Yeah, but it had, I don't know, at the time when I saw 500 Days of Summer, I thought it was, you know, it was just well done, and I don't know, like, you know, like, sometimes, you know, at the time it came out, that was not, like, a thing that was, like, super, people were hyper aware of, so, like, you wouldn't even be thinking to look for that element, right? And the same would be true of Scott Pilgrim. I don't know. You're talking to me about two movies I haven't seen since they came out, so.
I don't like Michael Cera, so.
He can be funny as, like, a twerp, like, which he kind of is in everything, but.
He just rubs me the wrong way. I don't know.
I'm trying to remember, like, why I didn't like Scott Pilgrim. And I just thought it was too, you know, satisfied with itself or whatever. Like, ooh, look at, you know, gamer culture. It's like, fuck off. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Like, it didn't do anything for me. And again, I'm trying to, like, talk about a movie I saw, what, 10 plus years ago. So.
No, I get some of that. I think, especially with your gamer, because I think it shows the good and bad. Because, yeah, Scott is very much a very problematic character in hindsight. I mean, he's
okay.
Like,
this is, yeah, you know.
He's post high school. He dates a high school. I didn't make a high school senior. I think he's, like, 3 years older than she is. He breaks up with her for an imaginary girlfriend. Then he fights, like, these evil exes to prove some type of form of masculinity, or that he's worthy of her and that she's a property to be won. I mean, that is really the intent of
that. Okay, so, like, that was not the element, though, that, like that, like, the political element was not what I was responding to and not liking it back in the day, but I will fucking add that on top of it. Fuck that movie. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like I was ahead of the curve for maybe the wrong, like, or different reasons at the time, and now I'm like, yeah, I was right. You know what I mean? Like, that's what I'm trying to say.
All right. Maybe we'll circle back on Scott Pilgrim at some point if Earl keeps
Scott
playing.
Pilgrim. Fuck Michael Cera.
We're running low on time, but we do have, as Earl said, one final segment here. We're going to induct some games into the Hall of Fame.
Oh, shit.
Oh, yeah. Hey.
Fuck, where's my bourbon?
So the four of us all have selections, and then we have a list here. Actually, let's hit this list first.
Fuck, do we have selections?
I don't know.
I'll come up. Don't worry. I'm good at this. I'll come up.
So I'm gonna pick for Jeff.
All right. Okay. So here's what we got. Submission wise, Elder Scrolls 3, Morrowind, Final Fantasy 11, Final Fantasy 6, Wind Waker, Banjo Kazooie, Mass Effect, Super Mario Galaxy, Metal Gear Solid 3, Paper Mario, A Thousand Year Door, Ratchet and Clank Up Your Arsenal, Beyond Good and Evil, Champions of Norrath, Return to Arms, and Time Splitters 2.
Well, these are choices that we can choose from as a freebie to add.
Yeah, these are nominations from, from other people. So,
okay.
I see one here that I think it's a 2007 game. I think Tony would be okay with it. So,
wait, what was it?
Mass Effect's the one that's jumping out at me.
Yes, I do enjoy Mass Effect as a.
I didn't even hear that one.
Well, I thought we added Mass Effect. I was actually going to say I think they asked to, which is what Champions of Norrath and
Time Splitters 2.
Time Splitters. Okay.
Fuck maybe. Those games. They suck, man.
Well, part of the reason I was gonna champion them is because I think most of the others I think will get in over time because I think one of us will.
This is a free like we then you don't have to use that one. You know what I mean?
No, but I mean I
Wind Waker in there.
Wind Waker's
is there anybody on this podcast who would champion any of these games?
Like yes, all. What do you mean?
There are games on this list I would not champion.
I would champion most of these games. You mean out of Champions of Norrath and Time Splitters 2?
Yes.
Both of them. I think they're both awesome. In fact, Time Splitters 2 was like beloved by me. Like I really loved that game when it came out. And I remember buying Time Splitters 2. I remember taking a fucking all the change I had around my fucking apartment and in my car and going to the coin star and fucking turning it into Time Splitters 2 and playing the fuck out of that game. So yes.
I think
but here's the thing, like, you play Time Splitters 2 now, it sucks ass.
I think this is the first time on this podcast that I've ever heard you mention the game.
I love Time Splitters, dude. No, absolutely.
I'm just saying
Time Splitters 2 podcast
for 11 years.
Well, and dude, it was 11 years old at the time.
Jeff
when he
adores
started.
This game.
Okay, dude, it was an old game at
the time. Yeah, I was going to ask, like, when would he have an opportunity to bring it up, though? Like,
I've definitely brought it up. Bring it back.
Time Splitters has come up a few times over the years. Probably most recently when Time Splitters, whatever. Or whatever the new Time Splitters was announced.
Here's the thing, though. I've played it recently. Does not hold up.
Well, I think it's very much in the school of like the GoldenEye Perfect Dark.
Yeah, that game. It's okay to admit. Like as much as you love something back in the day, it's okay to admit. Like this shit does not hold up. Like it doesn't.
Hold on. Time out.
It doesn't, dude.
No,
I'm
not disagreeing with you. But are you both arguing and agreeing with yourself? Because, Jack, you're the one who brought up Time Spinners as the thing, and now you're saying...
I love that game, but I've played it recently, and it's...
Okay, so you wouldn't champion it, then, off this list?
I mean, because you're the one who brought it up as the thing you would champion.
In time, maybe it deserves a slot on the wall, you know what I mean?
You know what game I've played recently that does hold up, and that you've also played recently?
Mass Effect. You know what also holds up? Wind Waker. There's another game in there. Read that from that list down again.
All right. So Morrowind, Final Fantasy XI, Final Fantasy VI, Wind Waker, Banjo Kazooie. No.
I know the other
Mass Effect, Super Mario Galaxy, Metal Gear Solid 3, Paper Mario, A Thousand Year Door, Ratchet Up Your Arsenal, Beyond Good and Evil, Champions of Norrath, Time Splitters 2.
Yeah, you know what I think pretty much. I mean, obviously, Galaxy holds up. But you know what I think pretty much holds up? Beyond Good and Evil. I think the game is, like, still pretty good.
I've never heard you talk about that series
before. Really? Tony's getting very forgetful at his old age.
I've definitely mentioned time slurs a million times.
And I don't remember. I don't remember them, but I will.
That is also the number of presentations Ubisoft wants to be at before they actually release the game. So,
but Beyond Good and Evil.
Yeah, we shouldn't allow that in until Beyond Good and Evil 2 comes out.
I just feel like, yeah, man, here, make me fucking
make you pick it. Yeah,
yeah, like Beyond Good and Evil, man, that game like really fucking surprised me when it came out. Like, it's there's things about it now that are like, eh, but
so I don't know. The ones that jump out to me are Wind Waker, which you've mentioned, Jeff, Mass Effect, Galaxy. Those are the three kind of like really jump off this list to me.
Three bigs? Yeah, those are three bigs. What do you think, Earl?
Again, I'm going to play the devil's advocate. I would prefer to get a game in that we probably wouldn't. I mean, I'm calling a spade, Galaxy would get in at some point. Via me.
Sure,
I know, but like, think of it. If it's in there now, you get to put another game in later. That's my thinking.
Is there a game on here that you specifically would like? If you could pick any game, you'd be like, this is it.
I mean, I think it honestly. Okay, Galaxy was not my pick for today. I would say 110%. It was not my final pick, but Thousand Year Door would have been, was like, it was my first gut instinct today, but I'm like, okay, you know what, I think we've done some Mario, but like, I think Thousand Year Door is like the epitome of like Mario RPGs for me, and yeah. That would have been one of my personal, that is one of my personal picks, that was honestly on the short list of things I had picked for today, and it might even still be on my list. I don't remember if the game I actually ended up picking is already in the Hall of Fame, so
I have no disagreement. I think it's amazing, but like, yo, Galaxy wouldn't be like, you would never nominate Galaxy.
No, I would always nominate Galaxy. That was honestly at the start of the podcast. That's why I specifically asked 2000, because I in my head it was 2007 before. So like, okay, not this year, but next year, Galaxy would have been on my head.
To me, 2007 is Galaxy.
Yeah, like, that's what I'm saying. That's right. In my head, it was 2007 before. Like, so basically, December 31st, 2006 and before, and was in my head, that was what I was going with. And then, like you said, 2007 is part of it. So, like, Galaxy is not just Galaxy is, like, one of those, like, I don't even think there's an argument. Like, that should just go in for being Galaxy.
I'm kind of leaning towards it, honestly, because, like, I don't know. I think Galaxy is like one of the best Mario games ever made. Like,
Galaxy is bar none one of the best games I've ever played. I mean, not Mario games. It's just one of the best games I've ever played.
I think it might be the best Mario game too. Like, on top of it, like,
it is tied for Mario 3 for me in terms of like, I can't choose between the two of them as far as like my favorite Mario game.
So, all right. What I'm hearing
noise.
Well, wait. So what I'm hearing though is, Galaxy should be in, regardless, right?
Galaxy should and will be in the Hall of Fame. Obviously, yes. Right. Mass Effect will be one day. Just fucking with Tony.
Honestly, I have chosen my 2007 nominee, and it's not Mass Effect.
All right, so we did not do a March Madness tournament this year.
No, we did not.
So it in the interest of keeping us on track with the amount of entries, we could pull two from here, I think. So I think I'm hearing Galaxy definitely. Like,
yeah.
Galaxy and Mass Effect.
Yeah. I'm fine, that's fine, whatever.
It sounds like Jeff is like, I'm all for Galaxy if it means I have to succumb to Mass Effect. But don't you want Mass Effect to stand out on its own so that it can finally
If Tony nominated like Mass Effect later, I'm not gonna, you know, because we still have veto power, I guess, right? You know, I'm not gonna be like, oh, you can't put Mass Effect in there. It's like, you know, it's a great game.
Like, instead of the veto power, I feel like and I could be mistaken, wasn't that the one that lost in the poll to Resident Evil?
It did.
No, that was Mass Effect 2.
Oh, yeah, it was.
Okay.
Tony's right. It was Mass Effect 2.
I'm getting on a fucking bourbon. Chris, you have my proxy vote. But you know where I stand on this bullshit.
All right. Galaxy Mass Effect. Let's move on. While Jeff is drinking bourbon.
I'm fine with that. I mean, in terms of the other ones here, Wind Waker is the one that kind of jumps out at me as something I'd like to get in, but that's something I can use a vote on myself.
Yes, and Wind Waker is also another one that, like, I mean, we talked about it in the future. Like, Wind Waker is up there with one of those games that's just, like, in my head, instantly a Hall of Fame contender. But yes, short on time. Let's recap what we have already on the list. I guess I'm going with Mass Effect and Galaxy.
Okay.
Even though I think Galaxy needs a whole 2-hour show dedicated to how amazing it is.
We can do that later. We can do that at some point. We will give Galaxy its due. Tony, what do you have as your option?
So Sony in 2000 released a console, the PlayStation 3. But they still had what might have been the best game to come out for the PS2 in 2007. And it's probably my favorite game in the series. Maybe the recent one overtakes a little, I don't know, but God of War 2, which kind of like ekes its way into that 2007 realm.
Yeah, it was like early 2007, wasn't it?
It's like March 2007. Fantastic, fantastic game. I love everything about it. I love the upgrades. I love the fact that it opens up with that fight against that massive, massive Colossus of Rhodes, and all the time traveling bits and all the puzzles. This is like the perfect God of War game. I feel like, you know, God of War 1 was kind of figuring it out. God of War 3 kind of went hyper violent in ways that were a little disturbing.
I also think that God of War 3 kind of goes to, I mean, he pretty much kills the gods at the end of 2, and it's like, we need,
he does,
like, Zeus is dead at the end of 2, right?
Yeah, he needs other stuff to kill, but it kind of goes,
no, Zeus is the final battle in 3.
In 3, okay.
Yes.
So he also going, kills the Titans in 3, right?
He's climbing 2 ends with him climbing up the mountain.
Yes. Okay. So, because he gets betrayed by them, yes, and he wants to go kill them. Yes. There we go. Because I was gonna say, like, a lot of I like the God of War games as games, but until the I don't even know what you call it, reboot. A lot of it was always kind of like, as much as I enjoyed a game, hey Kratos, you're kind of doing this to yourself.
Yeah.
It's like you pissed off these gods and they betrayed you. Then you trusted them again, and they betrayed you. I feel like this is a you issue, not a them issue.
He does have problems. He's kind of one note. He needs a little more personality. But, you know, he gets it in the most recent one, I suppose.
I miss that. You said God of War 2.
God of War 2.
Yeah, yeah. I'd take any of them, honestly.
That's where he's got boy.
Boy.
Boy's not in this one, so Chris likes it
more.
Yeah,
I'd like to. All right, so God of War 2. I'm going 8 years prior to that. I'm not going with the 2007 game. I'm going with the original Silent Hill.
I veto that.
You veto that?
Kind of, yeah. I think that game plays horribly.
Oh, I disagree so much. Like, it, and I think it's the best. I actually still think it's the best Silent Hill game.
What?
Has the best story. It actually is scary at points. It has a awesome world. Like, for what it did on the PlayStation, like, technologically, like, it looks great. Like, it does this great. Like, they do the fog thing in Silent Hill 2. It just doesn't work as well. And it is the one game that kind of it spawned this series, and I don't think it's ever, like, maybe Silent Hill 2, like, people really love the story in that. The first three games in Silent Hill are the only ones that are kind of worth playing in that series.
See, I'll let it go, but, like, to me, it would be Silent Hill 2. Like, the ending of Silent Hill 2 especially just kind of blew me away. But, sure, I guess you, like, running through thick fog and horrible controls.
It doesn't control bad, though.
I thought so. I don't know. It's
been forever. It controls exactly the same as Silent Hill 2.
I mean, that's not saying... I don't know.
I mean, I think it's legitimately actually scarier than 2. 2 has a better, more emotional core of a story. But I don't think it's a scary game.
Okay. No one else has any. All right,
Earl.
I've never played any of them, so okay. I have no real. Yeah,
Earl. What is your game choice?
Okay, so I don't know if this is already in here. If not, if it is, I apologize. I Gunstar Heroes.
It is you. That was your nomination. That was your last nomination last year.
Okay, so I am consistent. So that I'm going with my backup choice, which I already denoted, which is Paper Mario: The Thousand Year Door. Originally I wanted to go with Paper Mario, but I also know, like, if you nominate one game, there's a grace period, and if I want to get one Mario RPG in there, it's going to be The Thousand Year Door. Which took everything about the Paper Mario game and really just kind of elevated to a new level. It is probably one of the finer. It's a turn-based system, yes. But it's like that action turn-based system that I think the Mario RPG games are really good at. Each one has a variety of it. But like that, and the fact that it had such really fun and creative and colorful side characters. I mean, I think a lot of people still remember Vivian, Boshi, and stuff like that, and like a lot of the side quests. I think they do a great job with Luigi and kind of having him, I forget what you call it, but like his whole side story and stuff takes place off screen, and you get pieces of it from like his notes and stuff like that, and it's such a fun way to do a story in that game. The fact that, again, you could take that, this was back when like Nintendo didn't necessarily have those rules about Mario games yet, so you could take these characters and put them in these really strange and weird situations and just have fun with it. But really, again, like I said, for me, I think it's an evolution of the Paper Mario style, where I think really it's where the style itself kind of hits its apex. Like, I think some of the later games, and I think a lot of the later games are just like...
It peaked here.
Yeah, a lot of the later games are like, we're going to be paint, or we're going to be stickers, and it's like, we're sticking with that. This is like, no, this is paper, and we're going... That's just the theme. That is, it's just paper, and we're sticking with that. It's a really nice style. I think it has aged gracefully, especially over 64. I mean, because this exists.
It started to pop, like the 64 one looks good for a 64 game for sure.
Yeah,
it's one of the best 64 games. But on the GameCube, that art style is starting to pop. You know, like it kind of like still looks like that, like how it looked on.
It really does. And again, I think that they do stuff with this later on, but the combat system, not just being the combat system, but kind of having like that audience participation aspect of it as well. And just like, again, being interactive and time based as well as turn based, it is really just like a really solid, good RPG. It is probably my second favorite Mario RPG. The other one does not qualify just yet, but we will get there in due time. my nomination is Paper Mario: The Thousand Year Door.
All right,
Jeff. After Gunstar Hero again.
Double Gunstar Hero.
Is your other Paper Mario the new one?
No. Well, of the Paper Mario is my favorite of my Mario RPGs. About the inside stories ahead of it.
I'm like on the fence between Thousand-Year Door and I swear to God, I love the boss fights in the new one.
Oh no, I really enjoyed a new one. I think the new one is probably the second best Mario RPG of the Paper Mario games.
Yeah.
I think part of my issue with the new one, again, as I get overall, is I do think like as the game gets further and further along, it's just more and more of like we have to like, get it smarter and smarter because we just need to get you to the end.
Yeah.
What was the latest Paper Mario game?
What is it? The Origami King.
Okay.
Yeah, I liked it a lot. Yeah.
Oh, it's a ton of fun. I think it peaks around. I forget which one's like the Wind Waker chapter. It's like either 4 or 5 where you're on the high.
Oh, yeah, that's so cool.
And I think after that, I think because then. Like after that's like the Toad Spa where you go in, that's like 4 different things and you just collect that. Then you go to, like I said, I think it gets to a point where it's just like, okay, now we just need to get you to the end. And it becomes less about like this grand adventure, more about like just kind of do this stuff and be done.
All right, Jeff. What do you got?
See, well, the reason you let like other people do Super Mario Galaxy is so you could be like, Burnout 3 Takedown, bitch.
That is a... I don't think that's the actual title of Burnout 3.
I think it is. I think it's Burnout 3 Takedown, bitch.
I'm not sure the bitch is that.
I don't know. There's a million racing games out there, and a few of them stand out, and this is definitely one of them. Like, this is one people still talk about today. I think, Chris, you probably back me up on this one. Like, it's like a blaze, you know, like a lot of the modern Burnout games. It's like blazing fast fucking racing. And it, you go play that game now, it still looks pretty good. It's from 2004.
Yep.
The first two Burnout games I didn't really like. They felt like kind of slow and clunky to me anyway.
They are. They're not slow, but they're clunky.
They just felt like, yeah, just so like that. Some like I remember at the time, like Burnout 2 getting good reviews and me playing it and going, "What the fuck is this?" And then I played Burnout 3 and I was like, my fucking hair blew back. It was like that fucking Memorex commercial where the guy's like sitting on the couch and everything's blowing everything back. And like it just. One, the pure amount of speed of it, the graphics still look good today, and I added like these, you know, like the added the takedowns for one. That was like the first thing where like you'd crash a rival car, and it would like cut to showing that car getting fucked up, you know, and it would add to your boost meter doing so, and then of course there's like the different modes, including. Like my favorite crash mode where you would just try to like create a giant fucking orgy of destruction at an intersection. And if you created enough, you would get like this bomb you could detonate to create even more destruction and you get scored off of that. It was one of the most fun things ever. Like that developer, like the people that like developed that game, not Criterion, but like the people, like they made that like newer.
Dangerous Driving.
Yes, Dangerous Driving, which is just literally just Crash Mode. That's how cool Crash Mode was. Most people just were like, we're going to make a fucking game of Crash Mode. I think that Burnout 3 stands tall among racing games of the century, and I think that it had an impact on racing games of the century, so that's why it gets my pick.
All right. I mean, it is an excellent racing game. My second favorite Burnout game, but
yeah, you and I always are like at odds on that. Like, I like Paradise for well enough.
Yeah, Paradise isn't qualified yet anyway. So
yeah, so there you go.
All right, well there is our first set of Hall of Fame entries
in the Hall of Fame.
God of War 2, Silent Hill, Paper Mario, The Thousand Year Door, Burnout 3, Takedown, Mass Effect, and Super Mario Galaxy.
Dude, look at this fucking awesome list. You'd love to play all these games.
Yes.
I think I've played most of them except for Silent Hill.
I'm gonna continue to find games that Earl hasn't played and nominate them.
They have to be accessible, because like what I always hear about Silent Hill is that the HD connection is really not great.
The one on three, especially on 360, if you have the HD collection of 2 and 3 on a 360, they're bad ports, like really bad ports. The best way to play Silent Hill 2 is still on the PlayStation 2.
Yeah, but it goes on sale for like $5 all the time as a collection.
Yeah.
Try it out.
Konami would do good to put a Silent Hill collection together, like a new one. Kind of like the an anniversary collection.
What if they just remade the first Silent Hill for you? How would that feel? Would you like that?
They kind of did with Shattered Memories. But yeah, give me one with actual time. Was the one on the PSP and the Wii?
That's Shattered Memory.
Yep, that's
flashlight
that's,
one where you only have the flashlight.
Yeah, that's a yeah, it's kind of a
it's like, no combat.
It's a story. Yeah. It's a a narrative remake of the first game. It does not play like the first game.
Yeah, that's why I was asking that, because I'm like, I remember the Wii one was just like
it was totally the flashlight and
running around
you're shining the flashlight on ghosts and stuff to get them, push them away. In the original game, like, you actually, there's combat, you fight enemies. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we'll be back next week. There's stuff coming out. I'm drawing a blank. We've been talking for 3.5 hours. So according to Jeff, nothing is coming out ever.
Ever coming out.
Well, again, Monster Hunter Rise Sunbreak is out this week if anybody wants to check that out. But I think that's the one I know off the top of my hand that is. And then Nintendo just added like 4 Genesis games to NSO if you got that.
Oh.
Comics Kid, Mega Man Wally Collection, or Wally Wars, I should say, and like 2 other games that exist.
Oh, the Wily Wars is neat. That's a I think that's Mega Man 1 through 3 kind of like all smashed together.
Yes.
In a 16-bit remake, so.
Interesting.
Yeah. Well, we'll be back next week. Jeff, say goodnight.
Good night.